skies, a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. Liz Brown is on vacation this week, and she will return on September the 12th. Until then, we have Irene J. Smith filling in beginning at 7 o'clock, but right now it's the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. My website is lizbrown.com, LIZZBrown.com. We are talking this morning about firefighters, particularly, specifically, in the city of St. Louis. But these are issues that impact us all over the country, the state of fire departments all across this country, this issue of race and how it plays itself out in firehouses all across this country. I have a discussion planned for you this hour, a discussion that I don't think has ever taken place in the city of St. Louis, a discussion of this very issue with the president of St. Louis Local Firefighters 73 and Captain Wayne Lester, the Vice Chairman of Fire. Wayne, welcome.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you? It seems fitting that we have a fire alarm going off as we begin our conversation this morning. Paul Davis, President of the Local Firefighter 73, welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to begin, if I may, with you, Wayne. You've had an opportunity to listen to some of the conversation that we've had this morning, and one of the issues that was of concern to me, and an issue that presented itself as I looked at the different statistics that exist within the fire department, are the numbers of captains and the numbers of chiefs and the numbers of firefighters that have joined the department or have been part of the department after the creation of fire. And what, in your words or in your observation, how important is it to have an organization like fire?
First of all, I want to say thank you to you for having us on and letting us have this discussion. Also to your guests, Joe Hughes in the first hour and Paul the second hour and us together. But most of all, your listeners, for listening and tuning in. One thing that I like to say that I think is very important that fire exists. With Joe giving the history of fire existence, what happened prior to the existence of fire, he painted the picture to let everybody know what was going on. And I don't want to let it be skewed, because even though it was blatant back then, it's just in a different form today.
And in terms of, let's come today, one of the issues that we've discussed in the last hour was the issue of the transfer policy. And I made the observation that I've never seen anything like this in terms of, and I don't know if any other fire department is facing this across the country, that the chief of the fire department is unable to put a firefighter where the chief of an organization believes that they should be. That's where we are right now. I don't know of any organization that exists in America where the president, the CEO, the head of the organization can't put people where they want to put people. Talk to us about the transfer policy.
I think before I can talk about the transfer policy, I must answer Paul for speaking for me. First of all, he doesn't speak for me in the sense of morale. Mm-hmm. You asked him specifically, does he speak for all firefighters? I have to say personally, in my own personal testimony, the lowest point of the morale on my career in the St. Louis Fire Department is when the previous chief was here, Neil Satanix. Mm-hmm. When I was transferred every other year, I was transferred, I noticed that the leaders of fire was transferred, banished to the airport. So that was the lowest point in my personal career as far as morale on the St. Louis Fire Department. Now, to the transfers,
can we back to the morale? Because also, Paul, you had mentioned that it was low for everybody in the fire department. As the president or the vice chairman of fire, there are about 300 and something black firefighters and other workers that are part of the organization. How is morale for black firefighters and EMS workers now?
I think there's a resolved approach in fire members. I think that there are an opportunity for them to prosper or seemingly prosper in an even playing field. Mm-hmm. But it seems like once you play by the rules, once you do what's required, then there's another element that's added to the paradigm. And this element is coming outside of the fire department. And when you talk about specifically transfers, you look at the city charter. It specifically gives the appointed authority under Section 8. It says the appointing authority may at any time transfer any classified employee under his jurisdiction from one position to another position in the same class by giving written notice to the director, and that's the director of personnel, not the director of public safety, before the effective date thereof. Transfer of the classified employee from a position under the jurisdiction of one appointing authority to the position under the jurisdiction of another appointing authority may be made within the approval of the director of personnel and the appointing authorities. So what we have is a bigger question here. The chief has been given the ability to transfer by the city charter. Now, the question that should be asked is this administration, talking about the Slay administration, talking about Jeff Rankford, talking about Simon, the director of public safety, are they interfering with this administration and going against the city charter? I think that's the question that needs to be asked. We have a public forum here, but I think that an official forum needs to be researched and delve into this question by the Board of Aldermen. Maybe the Board of Aldermen need to have hearings, official hearings, and ask the question, is this administrative interference where the appointing authority cannot transfer or run his department? And has it happened anywhere else in the city? We've seen something unprecedented where the appointing authority had to go and hire his own attorney. The city didn't pay for him. Now, he works for the city. He's looking out for city money, city taxpayers, and he stated that.
And we're talking about Chief Sherman George.
Chief Sherman George, the first African-American chief on the St. Louis Fire Department.
And so, let's you jump in here in terms of the what Local 73 is asking for. You're asking for something, according to what Wayne is saying, that is contrary to the charter of the city of St. Louis. Every other appointing authority has the ability to make transfers, to make decisions that they want to make within their department.
When the fire chief became the fire chief, the director of public safety, Marty Abusi, asked him to provide him with a transfer policy. And the fire chief...
Fire chief are we talking about?
Sherman George. In the standard operating procedures of the St. Louis Fire Department, Section 6.12, that was amended in 1999 or 2000, the fire chief made a transfer policy, and he listed six-page document that lists the procedures that the fire department will live under. The fire chief still has the authority under the city charter to grant him that ability, but the fire chief created the standard operating procedures in which we live under for the transfer process. And in that process, it talks about when there's an opening exists, that opening will be published in every engine house, and people will have the ability to bid on a particular opening. And then it goes on, and then the fire chief will have a committee that will look at the transfer requests come in, and that he will make the appropriate transfers based on the selection criteria outlined in Section 6.12 of the Standard Operating Procedures of the Fire Department. And if you're not following Step 1 and Step 2, you can't jump down to Step 3 that says, for the good of the department, the fire chief can transfer anybody he wants to at any time. That goes against the entire transfer policy.
And Wayne?
Actually, it doesn't. First, to put it in perspective, 73 wanted a transfer policy under the previous chief, Neil Satanics.
Local 73.
And he wouldn't give him one. This chief, because of his good nature, because he wanted to involve everybody, allowed a transfer policy. But, of course, he would not take away his own authority. That don't make sense. That's not reasonable. And as the appointing authority, he can at any time do a transfer. Now, what happened was he exercised his authority as the appointing authority and made a transfer list and notified everyone. The director of public safety, Mr. Simon, told him he couldn't transfer. And from my perspective, fire's perspective, it's because of a few local 73 members that are high up in their organization and that have influence with this administration. I think that you all established earlier when you talked about the letter that they put out and who they wanted to vote for. And they said they supported Francis Slay, the mayor of the city of St. Louis. Quite naturally, you don't support someone and not get anything in return. The question is, what are you getting in return? And from our perspective, they're getting administrative interference in return. Anything that 73 wants to do, anything 73 wants to stop, they get from support from above, the chief's head. So what you have is, I guess, a payoff. We give you our support, you give us what we want.
Paul.
Again, in the first hour, I spoke about the lack of collective bargaining for public employees in the state of Missouri. The way the collective bargaining process works is we negotiate with our supervisors, with whoever the appointing authority is. And there's give and take. You negotiate. You give a little, I'll give a little, we'll meet somewhere in the middle. With our current administration, with our fire chief, we are not reaching. We are unable to negotiate. He is unwilling to sit down and negotiate with the local on changes in working conditions and on changes in you know, the benefits that we receive. And so, like I stated earlier, if we're not able to get it through the collective bargaining process, we have to do it through the political process.
Let's do a little give a little, take a little a situation. Your fire chief wanted to make a policy about hepatitis shots, that he wanted all of the members to have to do this, to be tested for hepatitis C, I believe it was. And your organization, and please help me understand this because I certainly don't, your organization opposed this. Your organization did not sit down with the chief to talk about this. He invited them in to have a conversation about this. Your organization had told its members that they shouldn't even come to the discussion meeting about this new policy. Explain to me, to the listening audience, if it's about give a little, take a little, why your organization would be against that type of a policy and why your organization wouldn't even sit down or would tell its members not to come and listen to what was being discussed.
I don't have any knowledge of our organization being against the hepatitis C program.
Can you talk to that?
The International Association of Firefighters has been on the forefront of hepatitis C and other communicable diseases.
Okay.
And this started in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, when a large majority, or not a large majority, when a large population of the firefighters and EMTs and paramedics in Philadelphia contracted hepatitis C. And that is a problem that exists throughout this country.
It's a good policy.
It's an excellent policy.
But Wayne, talk to us about what happened here in the city of St. Louis with that when Sherman George tried to instigate that or to implement that policy.
First of all, let's clear something up. The chief, Chief George, Local 73, and fire meets once a month and discuss issues in the St. Louis Fire Department. They have input on issues. And to my understanding, it's to the directive of his superior, Mr. Simon. He wants to create an atmosphere, from what I see, as a management style where you build consensus where everybody has an input in this management style until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the point of the authority's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, why not allow him to run his department? One of the things that the chief did in his way of being innovative and creative, he went out and got a grant from the government, and they came in with hepatitis C testing. And at the time, the local was against it. It was interesting because there was a woman from Philadelphia, I believe it was, or Pennsylvania, a white female that was in the local out there. She came and gave a testimonial how her chief opposed hepatitis C testing and opposed her as an individual because she had contracted it through the job and was fighting her. The film that we saw, the international, was in support of this, but this local wasn't. Now, I'm not telling you something that I heard about. I'm telling you something that I experienced because I was there. I participated in the program. What's interesting is that we're telling folks out here that this is a unique situation. This local is a unique situation. This whole atmosphere in St. Louis is a unique thing. Race is the basis of everything in the decisions that they make. And what I'm telling you is that, yes, I can say that there are black firemen in unions all across this country. But if you look at it, the predominant factor is they're black cities.
Mm-hmm.
They run the locals. This local wants to impose their will on everyone else at the expense of everyone else. If you deal with city people in the government and have them talk to you with this health care thing, it's the same way.
Well, talk to us about specifically about what 73 did about the hepatitis.
They protested. They didn't participate. You had a few that participated, but they spoke out against it. They told their members don't.
And when was this?
This was a few years ago. I think 3 years ago.
So
it didn't cost the city taxpayers a dime.
And this is when Sherman George was the chief.
Yes.
So here we do. We have.
The local did not oppose the hepatitis C, and my company we went down on a rotating basis throughout the country, and everyone on my company got the hepatitis C shots. Now, if there are individuals because of religious reasons or because of other reasons that decided not to get the test, that's fine, you know. But we did not. Local 73 did not go out and stand against hepatitis C.
You didn't march against it like you did everything else, but you did support it, and that's what I'm telling you.
Did not support it.
You did not support it.
And how? And what were some of the things that were done that demonstrated the lack of support from 73 on the hepatitis piece?
The lack of participation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the chief himself came in and spoke to each class,
mm-hmm,
and encouraged them to take it, despite the opposition, because what you're saying is I'm giving you an opportunity to find out if you have hepatitis C or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. I had went to a forum for a week over in Illinois to fight racism.
And we're going to have to take a break real quick here. I'm talking to Captain Wayne Lester, Vice Chairman of Fire, Paul Davis, President of St. Louis Local Firefighters, Local 73. And also when we come back, too, because, again, this whole spirit of cooperation, let's talk about the pumpers issue as well, adding paramedics to the pumpers when we come back. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The following is a rebroadcast of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is on vacation, and Irene J. Smith will be in the studio beginning at 7 a.m. this morning. We'll take a look at your traffic and your weather and listen to some commercials, and we'll take you back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Missouri Lottery Powerball. Eastbound 78 Blanchett Bridge, road construction. Right lane is closed as crews are in the final stages of bridge work. There are no delays through the construction area at the south. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Long Road all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Northbound 270 at 44 and Marshall Road, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to 170, no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for that traffic to be very heavy this hour. Westbound 55-70 split all the way on to the PSB, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 55-70 split, look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing looks good. Route M at 55, there's a report of an accident. And northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems so far. Sours traffic has been sponsored by the Missouri Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri's Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. Could be your ticket to Lucky Town. Taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, partly sunny, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz is on vacation. Irene J. Smith will be in the studio in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
It's new, it's awesome, and it's coming to St. Clair Square. It's the one-of-a-kind Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys. Be the first to see it and experience it at Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. The Yo-Stick is totally new, the next generation of yo-yo. Learn exciting new tricks from expert Yo-Stick performers. Kids Expo is the place to check out the latest in family-oriented products and services, information and education, and activities and entertainment. Visit the SBC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. See the Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys and much, much more at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
We interrupt this program for an important message. Right now, you can ride the ultimate storm of the new tornado at Hurricane Harbor inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt this important message for an even more important interrupting message. Hurricane Harbor is 100% free inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt again for a message so important it can beat up the last interrupting message. You can also see Circo Magnifico, the all-new dynamic stage show featuring acrobatics that will simply amaze you.
You call that an important interrupting message? Here's an important interrupting message. Six Flags is the only place on Earth where you can get coasters like The Boss and Batman the Ride and the exhilarating Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah? Well, this is the daddy of all interrupting messages. Right now, you can buy and print discount tickets right from your home using Print and Go at SixFlags.com. Six Flags, St. Louis, it's playtime.
Whoa, that was important.
Told you.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. I am here. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Our email is revolution@lizbrown.com. We are discussing fire department issues. We are discussing the issue of race in the fire department. I am here with Captain Wayne Lester. He's the vice chair of fire, and Paul Davis. He's the president of the St. Louis Firefighters Local 73. And, Wayne, we were on our way out. We were talking about the issue of race in the hepatitis program, and also I'd like to talk about the pumpers as well.
It was very, just quickly, the because of the program, I went to a conference, and there was a member of 73 there, a white female. She found out that she was exposed to hepatitis C, and she came to me and told me that she had been exposed, and I was there to support her and help her. Through that program, she found out that she was taking it home to her family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the program and the chief's foresight in this that he made it available to the members of the fire department.
Mm-hmm. And there was opposition from Local 73?
For whatever reason.
Okay, so let's talk about other, because Paul, we had talked about the whole give and take, the what is happening here with the fire department. One of the things that you had said, or you made reference to, Paul, was the issue of that we want to put the issue of race behind us and start dealing with the issues directly. Is it possible to put race behind us, to not let race impact on these decisions when the organization that you represent is an organization that exists or that consists solely or the overwhelming majority of people? You have 10 black members and about what is it, 450 people. You have about 10 black members. Is it possible for your organization to put race aside? I mean, is it possible to put race aside when your organization engages in issues that have race involved in them, in the decision-making?
I don't believe any organization in this country is going to be able to put race behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Race is going to be an issue that people discuss.
Well, then let me ask you.
We can have differences. Mm-hmm. We can have differences, and what we need to understand, and what I believe we understand, is that sometimes it's okay to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned, on the St. Louis Fire Department, we learned in May of 2002 that the fire that we fight on a daily basis does not discriminate. In May of 2002, we lost two firefighters here in the city of St. Louis, an African-American firefighter and a white firefighter. That's our enemy. And if we go in and we fight at a fire, and we've got each other's back, and if Wayne goes down, whoever's behind him is going to pick him up. And if I go down, whoever is going to pick me up. Or if I see someone go down, I'm going to pick them up. And we do this on a daily job, and we risk our lives. And in Rob and Derek's case, they gave their lives for this job. And so if we can do that in a life-threatening environment, then we ought to be able to get past the differences and start having a discussion about the differences so that we can reach some consensus.
Do you see, Wayne, that the organization Local 73 is moving past the issues of race? I mean, that's fabulous. I mean, the fire doesn't discriminate, God doesn't discriminate, lightning doesn't discriminate, but people discriminate and organizations discriminate. Do we have those types of actions happening with the Local 73?
It's interesting that he would mention Derek and Rob. I remember, and incidentally, Derek and Rob was at the same engine house I'm at,
mm-hmm.
Engine House 1. We had a service for them there, and fire made Rob a honorary member. We gave a scholarship to his kids.
Rob is the white firefighter.
Right, Rob Morrison. We also got plaques and citations from our international, and they made him an honorary member. In the same ceremony, Local 73 presented plaques and presented it just to Rob's wife and not to Derek's wife. Which was not only hurtful and disingenuous, but it was, I think, an act of what's really in your spirit, what's really in your heart, that you can't get beyond your own inner demons and work together at a time like this. And guys talk to me about that all the time. That was an act that was very distasteful, and it was hurtful.
Paul?
I'd like to read a quote, and this is from Julian Bond, the chairman of the NAACP, and he was addressing the AFL-CIO convention on July 25th of this year. And that quote says, "Given our common interest, minority Americans and organized labor are both better off when we cooperate. Most of us are working people. Our interest and your interest are the same."
But Paul, Wayne just gave you a specific example of after... I don't think anybody out in the listening audience wants to hear any kind of, you know, we shall overcome type of energy or language. Wayne just gave you a specific example of an opportunity for Local 73 to prove... To show an example, to engage in behavior that demonstrates that they are capable of not making decisions, racist decisions, negative decisions based upon somebody's race. You had two firefighters from the same engine house that were killed in the same fire, and Local 73 treated one firefighter because of the color of his skin differently and better than another firefighter who died in the same fire. I don't want to hear anything from Julian Bond about this. I want to hear something from you about what is your organization about and what is your organization going to do?
I think the context in what Wayne said was that his organization chose to give whatever they gave to both firefighters,
mm-hmm.
You know, that they did it. Mm-hmm. And I applaud them, commend them for that, okay? Local 73 did not do the same thing.
Well, they did worse than that. They did worse. They only gave one to one. You did worse. gave one to one.
And again, this is the first time that I'm even hearing of this. Okay, this is 3 years. I mean, this past May was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that this has even been brought to my attention. So I am not going to be able to answer for what happened 3 years ago. When this, it's sitting here today, is the first time that I have heard that accusation made.
But
I have not heard that on the fire department. No one has talked to me about that. And I've been the president since January. If this was a concern of firefighters, I would have heard.
Okay, now that you
within
know
the engine houses.
Now that you know about it, now what? You know about it. It happened. Now what?
I don't know that it happened.
Oh, so
I don't know. I don't know that it happened.
So what are you saying then?
What I'm saying is it 100% accurate? Is part of his facts accurate? Is it a half-truth? I don't know.
So
I'm going to have to make an investigation or investigate to find out exactly what happened.
We can start the investigation right now, Paul. You can pick up the phone or you can have
We're going to take a break right now. We're going to take a break right now, and I will be back with Paul Davis, president of the St. Louis Firefighters Local 73, and Captain Wayne Lester, vice chairman of fire. Beat goes on.
Yeah. Time has come to end my feelings.
Charles Gear and Lori Fulkerson provide a sounding board. Anywhere there's a computer, log on at WGNU.net.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri. Missouri 63108.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
The dog days of summer are here, and the Humane Society of the United States reminds you that hot weather can be hard on our pets, too. The group offers these tips for helping your pet beat the heat. Save longer walks for the early morning and evening hours. Be sure they have lots of fresh water. Keep your pets inside where it's cool, and make sure any outdoor animals have access to open, shady areas. Also, keep in mind that leaving your dog in a parked car, even for a few minutes, can be deadly. For more information on caring for your pet, please visit hsus.org.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am talking to Paul Davis, president of St. Louis Local 73, and Captain Wayne Lester, vice chairman of fire. Y'all, we haven't had an opportunity to get and to take calls. What we're going to do is in the next hour, I apologize because there's so much more that I want to get to with both gentlemen in the studio with me. So we're going to take calls in the next hour, nothing but calls and questions in the next hour. But I want to continue on this issue of how race, how this Local 73 makes their decision and how it impacts upon people on the issue of race. We talked about how the two firefighters passed in the fire, three years ago now, and how the Black Firefighters Association dealt with that loss and how Local 73 dealt with the loss. And Wayne, you talked about how you were there when the plaque was handed out.
Right.
You were there. You saw it. And who was the person that was handing the plaque out?
Kenny Sturmer.
And Paul, he's on the board now, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And I kind of want to underscore what it must have felt like for the widow to have. What did you see when you saw the plaque being handed out?
What I saw was the chairman of FIRE, Addington Stewart, present to both wives the plaques and citations from the International, and also make Derek's kids a, because his dad was an honorary member, give scholarships to their kids. Soon after that, 73, and the personal representative of 73, Kenny Sturmer, came, turned
now
his
this
back.
Is a, this is a big formal event, right?
Yes, this is at the Engine House, in the Engine House Bay.
And how many people
open
are there?
Open to the public, I'd say easy, 150.
Okay, 150
yes.
people there,
yes.
Okay.
When
and everybody knew that this was going to happen. Everybody was notified.
It was a pre-planned event.
Okay.
It wasn't something that just popped up. It wasn't something that happened haphazardly.
Mm-hmm.
When it came time for 73 to present their plaques, Kenny Joe Sturmer presented the plaque. I saw him not even address Derek's wife. Actually just presented the plaque to Rob's wife and didn't hug, didn't kiss, didn't console, just walked away after that.
Did he hug and kiss and console Rob's wife?
Of course, when he presented her the plaque, he hugged and walked away.
Now, Paul, you weren't the president then, and you said that this is the first that you've heard about this. My question to you is that you weren't there, but there were other people there. Some would make the argument that, well, Derek wasn't a part of the local 73, we didn't give him a plaque. But somebody should have, don't you think? Somebody should have at the organization on 73's end said, you know, oh, shoot, we should have done something for Derek's wife. 1 year passed, nothing's done. 2 years passed, nothing done. 3 years has passed, still nothing has been done for Derek's wife. What do you say about that?
Let me, the week leading up to the funeral, we had two firefighters that were killed. We've discussed that.
Mm-hmm.
And our International came in and assisted in the memorial service that existed. And in our International, when you have multiple line-of-duty deaths, you get a large number of firefighters from throughout this country that come in to attend the memorial service. And we had a unique situation here, that we had a union member and a non-union member. And our International asked us, are we treating this as a multiple line of duty death, or are we treating this as a single line of duty death? And we treated this from the beginning as a multiple line of duty death. And our International president came in and he gave a eulogy at that memorial service at the Savas Center on Saturday after the tragic event. The issues that Wayne has expressed, like I said, this is the first time that I've heard about it sitting here today. So I don't know how to respond. Other than, and we can sit back, and we can go back into history, and you can call me a name, and I can call you a name, and we can go back and forth, and you can say, but you did that, and I did that, and you did this, and I did that, and we can go on, and we can continue this for the next 2 days. Or we can start today and start solving the problems that exist. Learn from the history that existed. Learn from the history that happened. And start working to solve the problems.
But here's the
it's
problem.
A difference, it's
here's,
a difference
here's the
between
problem.
Discussing problems
problem,
and coming
Paul.
To solutions.
Here's the problem, Paul. I mean, all of that theory is accurate. All of that theory is just that theory. If you want people to begin a relationship with you, it would be foolish to expect that a person would get into a relationship with somebody and ignore everything that person has done prior to that moment. It would be a foolish and an illogical thing to say, you know what, I'm going to hire this guy and I'm going to ignore the fact that he has 16 years worth of burglary charges and he's done 15 years worth for stealing and embezzlement. So wait a minute. So it is absurd to say that we are supposed to step away from what people have actually done. History We're not talking about history. We're talking about what has happened recently by an organization in conjunction with a million, a thousand other things that this organization has done. If you want people to really believe that you are not like the action that happened when the wife of a firefighter had her back turned to her because she was not white and the other woman was, then I guess the expectation would be that you as the president, instead of saying let's get beyond history, should have said on this show when you heard about it for the first time, this is outrageous. If that happened, then I as the president of this organization am going to make this right because this is not something that is supposed to happen. You didn't say that. You didn't call to even find out that it did happen when we took the break. Instead, you're giving us a lecture on what we're supposed to do about history. You have an opportunity to make history right now, and you didn't.
Like I said, I did not say ignore the history that existed. What I said or meant to say was let's learn from the history that has existed. And like I said in the last hour, when you look at throughout this country and the deplorable conditions that African Americans were forced to work under in the 40s, 50s, and 60s,
what are you going to do
that
about
isn't
this?
Exactly
what are you going to do about
history.
This issue right now? What are you going to do about this issue right now?
What am I going to do about
yes.
this issue right now? Like I said earlier, this is a bottom-up organization. This is a democratic organization. I do not have the authoritarian ability to make a decision for this local. But what I will bring up is I will make sure that it is on our agenda at our next executive board meeting to be brought up at our next general membership meeting.
Wayne.
Let me say this so that you don't, to the listening audience, you don't become president overnight. I didn't become a vice chairman overnight. I worked in this organization. Anybody know the history of our organization? You come in, you get on committees, you work, you get to know the personalities. You go to the meetings, you fuss, you fight, you get your points across, you learn people as the years go by. I have gone on 16 years on the St. Louis Fire Department. I've been a member of fire for 16 years. I'm not a Johnny come lately. I have a history in this organization. I have a history on the fire department. Paul has a history in the fire department. He has a history in his organization. It's not enough to say that I'm just the president or I just became the president. What did you do before then? Were you one of those voices that you say that you answered to now that you're the president? Were you letting your opinion known then when you were before you became the president? Or did you go through the ranks? And did you go through the steps? I offered him my cell phone to call a person, and he refused to accept it. And that's okay. I think, though, if he wants to get to solutions, I think he should join with us and say, let the Board of Aldermen take an official look at what's going on in the St. Louis Fire Department and see if this is an administrative interference from the top of this city, from the city officials, from the mayor to his deputy mayor and to the director of public safety. Let's see if he's willing to get to solutions and join with us and say, Board of Aldermen, why don't you have an official form and investigate what's going on?
When we come back, we'll be taking your phone calls. I'm talking to Paul Davis, president of the St. Louis Firefighters Local 73, Captain Wayne Lester, vice chairman of fire. I'm Liz Brown. And if you want to get a look at the T-shirts that we were talking about, the horrific racist caricature of a T-shirt that the firefighters, white firefighters wore in protest of Sherman, George, you can check that out at my website at lizbrown.com. If you want to get a look at the letter that the Local 73 sent out, make your own opinion about what it says and what it means. Check that out at lizbrown.com. If you want to comment on that, get on over to Blogitude, STL, at lizbrown.com. Make your comments. We'll share them on the air. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back. We're canceling our next guest because we ain't done here. Stay with us.
You've been listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Stick around. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown today. And we'll take you up to the top of the hour news now, right now on AM 920 WGNU.
Thank you. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. President Bush says he'll visit the Gulf Coast disaster zone as soon as possible. Meanwhile, he's asking Americans to dig into their pockets.
Not to send food, not to send blankets, but to send cash to the Red Cross or the Salvation Army or the charitable, a charity of their choice, so long as they designate their funds for hurricane relief.
In an exclusive interview on ABC's Good Morning America, the president also talked about the post-hurricane image he remembers best.
Well, I think the image that sticks in my mind the most is somebody sitting on a rooftop waving a flag saying, come and get me.
Mr. Bush also said there should be zero tolerance for looting, price gouging, anything that takes advantage of a disaster. The Pentagon is in battle mode, dispatching a contingent of ships, aircraft, trucks, medical supplies and personnel, and communications equipment to the hurricane zone. The first of about 25,000 Superdome refugees arrived in Houston to live in the Astrodome till further notice. Margaret O'Brien Molina with the American Red Cross says they'll finally be able to make phone calls.
When the families arrive here, there's going to be a phone bank set up so that they will be able to call out.
Shelters are also opening in Mississippi, where 90 miles of coastline have been wiped out. Tourism, shipping, gambling, oil, seafood, all the industries have been devastated. In the oil markets this morning, prices are holding steady, a little below $68 a barrel. This woman in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, says she's had enough of the weather and she plans to move.
We moved to Texas and get a job and just continue my life in Texas.
But this woman in the Garden District of New Orleans says she and her family are staying put.
This is our home. We don't want to leave. If we can stay, we're going to stay.
One trucker says it's crazy. Gas prices jumping more than 50 cents a gallon in some places, more than a dollar a gallon in other places. This is ABC News.
John here. I'm running late. Construction at the tunnel.
The road to your business meeting is filled with obstacles.
Me again. I'm stuck on second. Nice parade.
Why not web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have productive meetings without leaving the office? Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll. Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/getlive. That's Microsoft.com/getlive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
It's going to be a while.
Whether you run a small business or a busy household, the UPS store wants you to remember these six words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
At the UPS store, we have a lot of different ways to help you. We have packing and shipping experts. We can print, copy, collate, and bind presentations. We can even set you up with a mailbox at our store. So the next time you have a lot to do, just think of these six words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
The UPS store, the place for packing and shipping and a whole lot more.
President Bush has signed a comprehensive energy reform bill, but it's not intended to alleviate the suddenly out-of-control gas prices.
Producers will qualify for almost $15 billion in tax breaks, but the energy bill will not mean lower gas prices.
The energy bill largely ignores the transportation sector.
Alliance to Save Energy President Kateri Callahan says there's no requirement for cars to be more fuel efficient. And the people I talk to don't expect to pay less at the pump.
Not at this stage of the game, no.
I don't think it's really going to help us.
Nah, no hope.
The energy package does provide some savings to consumers. Buy energy-efficient appliances and you get a tax break. Bill Greenwood, ABC News, Washington.
In Iraq, three official days of mourning are underway for about 1,000 Shiite pilgrims killed in yesterday's stampede. It was triggered by rumors of a suicide bomber in their midst. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, gas prices are hovering at the $3 mark at many St. Louis area stations in response to the supply concerns created by Hurricane Katrina. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt is asking Attorney General Jay Nixon to investigate the possibility of price gouging at the pump. The Attorney General's office has already received some calls and has started gathering information. Missourians who believe they have been victims of price gouging can call the Missouri Consumer Hotline at 1-800-392-8222 or visit www.ago.mo.gov. A St. Louis priest faces a possible life sentence after being convicted of sodomy. Father Thomas Graham was convicted yesterday of molesting a boy more than 25 years ago. Graham's trial went forward after a Missouri Supreme Court ruling that he could be prosecuted because there is no statute of limitations on sodomy before 1979. David Clossy, the national director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says older cases are still hard to prosecute.
Many times police are reluctant to investigate and prosecutors are reluctant to pursue them, but they at least have this chance now. And we believe that in every single county in the state, the police and the prosecutors know of one, at least one, serial child molester who could, in fact, be charged now.
Graham was accused of molesting the victim at the old cathedral in the 1970s and 1980s, beginning when the boy was 13 years old. Deliberations in the penalty phase will resume this morning. Illinois health officials are confirming the first human case of West Nile virus in the Metro East. The diagnosis of a 69-year-old St. Clair County woman, along with 11 new cases in northern Illinois, brings the number of confirmed cases this year to 74 statewide. West Nile virus is transmitted through the bite of a mosquito that has picked up the virus by feeding on an infected bird. Finally this hour, Cardinal slugger Albert Pujols has reached the 100 RBI plateau once again. Pujols ripped a run-scoring triple in the fifth inning last night as he reached the century mark for the fifth time in his five big league seasons. He joins Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, and Al Simmons as the only players in Major League history to drive in 100 or more runs in each of their first five seasons. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Pier 1. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom Road and Butler Hill. Two separate accidents on the right shoulder. There's a brief slowdown in the right lane past both. Westbound 70 at 94. Look for road construction. The left lane is blocked. Northbound 55 between Weber and 44. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 44 between Lewis and Merrimack River Bridge. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44. Look for traffic in pockets there. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lee May Ferry. Looks good. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Heavy volume, then slow in the right lane from New Florissant all the way into 170. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for heavy volume. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 slows from Bow Avenue to the 5570 split. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow onto the ramp, the left ramp, as you approach Memorial Drive. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Pier 1. Hurry into Pier 1 this Labor Day weekend and save up to 50% on things you need to turn your bedroom into the perfect fall retreat. Pier 1, life more interesting. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of the wake-up call with your special guest host here, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown, who's on vacation. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
When you're weary.
In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund makes help possible. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
Help the victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
That says it all for what we're dealing with right now in this country, particularly with respect to the hurricane victims in the South. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. This is the morning wake-up call. You can call us at 454-0400 or 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. If you're interested in helping victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country, you can call 1-800-HELP-NOW or you can visit redcross.org today. Together we can save a life and make a difference. If you want to check on any type of charity that contacts you saying that they are collecting money for the hurricane victims, you can contact the Better Business Bureau to do so. You can call them at 314-645-3300 or you can contact on the web www.contactbbb.org to check on the status of that organization. Or you can also check at the website www.give.org. Things are worsening, getting better, and getting worse again. As you know, some of the victims have been evacuated from New Orleans. Some help is getting in to Mississippi and parts of Alabama and New Orleans. But there is so much more to be done. So if you can do anything, for those of you who perhaps don't have credit cards or don't have anything, you can go by the local Red Cross and you can make your contribution there. Also, as we indicated yesterday through various callers, you can contact your churches and see what they can do. Many people will be going to Houston and areas outside of the areas that have been devastated, and they're going to be in need of a lot of assistance, you know, just in terms of talking to people, supervising, providing food, clothing, just a helping hand. So, you know, pray about it and determine how you can make a difference in this situation that we're faced with in this country. I've talked to a lot of people about the situation. I know last evening my family and I, we were waiting. You know, we still have not heard from our family in New Orleans since 2 days ago. And so, of course, it's a very anxious time for us. But we were looking at the national response to what was occurring. And it's it seems to have been so slow. And hopefully it's stepping up at this time because it's so much that is going on. And then the question came up about the looting. You know, what's justified, what's not justified. And you know, from a legal perspective, people were asking me, you know, is there anything that's called justification? I said, yes, there is a defense that is known as justification, but it's, you know, to save life. So if people are taking items that are necessary to sustain life, you know, I certainly think that is allowable. Of course, you know, Louisiana does have an anti-looting law. And, you know, the fools that are taking television and DVDs and VCRs, and I don't know where they're going to take them and who's going to use them. It's a little ridiculous. But more often than not, a lot of the people that were shown on some of the other stations were people who were taking Pampers, who were taking, you know, Depends, potato chips, water, alcohol, you know, peroxide, things of this nature, and I think in this circumstances, some consideration should be given to those individuals. I'm going to go to the phone lines. I'm going to only be with you for an hour this morning. I have another commitment that I have to do for the remaining hours, but I'll be back with you tomorrow from 7 to 10, and so I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning. Good morning, Bill.
It's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, too.
I have a question, and I'm looking for an answer, and I'd like to know can you define or can you identify true black leadership in the St. Louis community? And other than yourself, and I hold you in high esteem at that level, but I'd like to hear what's considered to be that in this city. Can you help me with that?
Let me say this, Bill, and this is me, and this goes way back. I can recall back in 1985 at the Clifford Wilson Center when we talked about the same thing. And what I said then was that we have various leaders throughout our community, and sometimes those leaders are not thrusted into the public view in such a way that a lot of people know them. But we have leaders in various different capacities throughout our community. Is there any one so-called black leader in the city of St. Louis that people can identify with? I don't think so. I think that certainly if you are posturing and saying that you are a black leader, certainly that means that, number one, you're conscious about your community. You're concerned about your community. You take issues and you take positions on issues that are in the best interest of your community. And you try to also empower your community, because the goal is not for us to think that we have some type of messiah leader that can solve all things. And I think that is something that has hurt communities when they think that one individual can solve things. I think certainly that individual must have a vision and must have the ability to get people to buy into that vision, but most of all to work toward a vision that will improve the quality of life for the African-American community, and so doing, also improve the quality of life for others in the city of St. Louis.
Now, the other part of this is, how do we get our black press? We don't have many, but the ones that we do, how do we get them involved in addressing issues that impact our community? I look in our press and I see the same faces consistently. It's almost like they don't even have to take the picture of the event. They can just get one picture of these people and just run them, you know, in different clothes on.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because that has been a continual discussion with a lot of us, you know, in our you know, around the table or sitting on the floor, sitting on the couch, sitting around the kitchen table discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is a lot of people feel that the black press that exists in this, particularly the print media, that exists in the city of St. Louis is not really in the forefront of addressing issues that directly impact our community, particularly if those are issues that are of something that would rub the administration the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, I guess we have to do what, you know, others did in the past. If we don't have a media that is addressing issues in the community, then someone needs to start a paper that does.
But, you know, and I'm not unwise to the fact that it takes money to facilitate such an effort, and will we support it? I see that, and I think about Brother Sylvester and his effort to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's a two-edged sword.
It is. I mean, it's a tremendous thing. It you know, it's a labor of love. It will probably not involve a large degree of finances. You know, when the Panthers wanted to get out information
mm-hmm.
about the beautiful things that they were doing throughout the community in terms of their 10-point program,
mm-hmm.
basically what they did is they started their own paper.
So they took to the streets.
You know, they took to the street. They addressed the needs of the people, from medical needs to healthcare needs to food needs, the whole, you know, they had a whole program, and that's something that we need to look at and perhaps revisit. Brother, I want to
Thank
move
you,
along.
Sister.
There's some other callers. Thank you for the call this morning.
All right.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, how you doing, Miss Smith?
I'm fine.
Yeah, you know, I'm not getting in on this press thing, you know, it's because I feel that, hey, you know, if you learn how to, as the old saying says, if you don't read, you don't know. And the press, you know, mostly everybody, you know, when they really trying to help their people, it starts off with the press, you know, when you look at the communist parties, NAACP, all of them, you know, it's about the press, what they bring out to the people. And what we don't get is that we don't see nothing. It's all about, you know, big time. You know, we can pick up a paper, the Rolling Stone, all of the new magazines that the blacks is putting out now. You're looking at, and you'll be looking at reading it. It says, oh, here's such and such a big company, black vice president, black president of this, and black vice president to all these big companies. But you never see them in the, you know, like the Post and the other big papers that comes out.
Mm.
The only paper we get is like the, what I call the scam sheets. You know what I mean? That the World, which I read the World now, but the World and the Evening Crusader, and it's all about some crimes and all of that
kind
of stuff.
Let me say that I do think there is one paper that is, and it's kind of, some people might feel that it's geared to a younger generation, but I read it because a lot of the editorials and the stories in the paper really point home, and that's a paper that is called Rollout. And Rollout, although it will have information about businesses and entertainers, they always have something substantive in the paper. So, and it's young. In fact, I started writing an email that I wanted to send to the editor to really just complimenting them. You know, they talked about, you know, what is love in terms of action in our community, and they bring questions to mind. And so, I must commend that publication. And,
yeah,
and that's
well, that's
a,
the
yeah,
one
and,
I was talking about. I called it. Well, I made a mistake and said Rollout.
Yeah, but Rollout, Rollout,
yeah,
had,
Rollout, yeah,
they
I,
are addressing. They address issues in our community. Sure, they talk about, you know, the social aspect, and they talk about, you know, people who are doing well in business, and they're always highlighting someone positive in our community. So I think that is a publication that is worthy of our support, and we should probably send emails to the editor and say, kudos, you know, that's a good job, good story, keep up the good work, and encourage advertisers to advertise with them.
Yeah, because, you know, just like I said, you know, it's some papers out there, but they're hard to find. It's just like good books. You know, I can remember the time back in the 60s when you were talking about the Black Panther Party. Well, I used to be in the RNA, the Republic of New Africa, under Milton Henry in Detroit, Michigan. And, you know, on every corner, you saw a bookstore.
Exactly.
And what happened is that you could go to that bookstore and you get the little paperbacks, you know, and they would have the autobiography of Angela Davis and all of this is really where the program got the people at, is that we went to these bookstores and we got them. And all of a sudden, they cut out the bookstores and brought in the pornography books. And the videos.
But you know what? Bookstores cannot exist just being there. We must support those bookstores in our community. You know, and you know, one of the things that we tend not to do sometimes with businesses in our community, sometimes we think that we just open up and that's it. We don't tend to advertise. So our bookstores need to advertise just like other businesses, but we also need to support those entities, you know? You know, Marcus has hung in there. I mean, you know, he has a store on the south side and one in North St. Louis. But, you know, it's like a gem. It's just hid up in there. So, you know, they cannot exist without support, without people coming in and buying books.
And
Bert, I want to move on. I got a caller before the end of the hour. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, Roosevelt Man. Let's move on to another caller. Good morning.
Well, hello there. How you doing, Irene?
I'm okay.
That's good. Excellent. I just wanted to say that a lot of times we talk about a lot of the negative things, but I think it's important to focus on solutions and positive things that are going to make a difference. And with having said that, I think one of the most important things is to tackle things at the source. So what I'm going to say is the parents that are out there, single parent or two parents, raise your kids properly, teach them the moral values, do their homework, respect other people's property, don't bow down to peer pressure, smoking drugs, or doing anything illegal, and try to go to church and try to do good things and read and try to get education. And if a person takes out the time to nurture their child in these ways, in positive ways, then they won't have to worry about trying to use the philosophy of it takes a whole village, because really the village is not responsible for your kids. Even though that's a good concept, I think the responsibility lies with the parents and the people that brought that child into this earth. And if they would do that, then, you know, because quite obviously other people don't have the authority to whoop your child. Other people don't have the authority to do a lot of things. That's the, in a court of law, as you well know, it's the parents who have the authority to tell a school whether or not they want their kid to learn about sex or learn about this, that, or the other. The school can't just do whatever they want. They got to get permission from the parent. So the whole concept of utilizing a village, that sounds good, but I think it's mythological, because legally you don't have the right to stick your nose in other folks' business. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think the parent needs to do a lot better job with raising their kids and not letting them stay up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning running the streets and doing all kind of craziness. And I'm not saying everybody does that, but I'm saying for the ones that the shoe fits, you know, I think that you just have people out there that let the kids run wild, and then they wind up having to have the police or the school or the principal discipline their kids because they don't want to do the job that they're supposed to be doing.
Okay, point well taken.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, certainly it is the parents' responsibility to raise, to nurture, and to guide their children. But the reality of the situation is that we have a lot of young parents, some of them that, despite their age, do very well in terms of rearing their children. But, you know, and it's maybe just because of the way I grew up. And I was blessed, you know, I had a mother who was a young mother, but who had a very supportive family. And she was a single mother. You know, she reared me, my grandmother, my aunts, my uncles, you know, people in the community. And I believe that people in the community, that we do have a responsibility to our children. We do have a responsibility to guide and nurture them. We do have a responsibility to make sure that the environment in which they live is a safe environment, and that we also exhibit ourselves and conduct ourselves in a manner that will also aid in being an image for them, so that they can be the type of individuals we want them to do. But certainly, yes. I mean, it goes without saying, certainly it's the parents' responsibility. But we also, as a society, have a responsibility to our young children. And that's why when I hear people just condemning young people and condemning the so-called rap hip-hop music. You know, you got to point, you know, when you point the finger, there's a finger always pointing back at you. So I just hope we keep that in mind. We've reached the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you after the break.
In it we've got a lot to learn. Oh, 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 we can conquer pain forever.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Pier 1. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Green Park, an accident on the right shoulder. Expect a brief slowdown. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Butler Hill has returned back to normal after a couple of earlier accidents on the shoulder. They're now gone. Westbound 70 and 94, road construction. Left lane is closed. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Merrimack Bottom Road. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. You've got slow traffic. Northbound 270 from 44 to 55. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain Neighbors and West Florissant. Look for stop and go traffic. Just heavy to the right from New Florissant all the way into 170. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Lindbergh, you've got heavy traffic. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 64 slows it from Bow Avenue all the way into 5570. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything's running smoothly. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Pier 1. Hurry into Pier 1 this Labor Day weekend. Save up to 50% on things you need to turn your bedroom into the perfect fall retreat. Pier 1, life more interesting. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny skies today, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under cloudy conditions, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes. And after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU, also online at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700. Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
We should believe in one another. Jesus left a long time ago, said he would return.
All right, we're back. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning, sister.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you this morning?
I'm well.
In reference to the black press and communities around the country. From November 2001 up until November 2004, I saw up close and personal that indeed the press in our community is inhibited. There are only certain stories and certain editorials, especially editorials, that will be printed, and they will always be printed by the same people or someone they don't know. I've submitted a number of editorials, letters to the editor, to the paper, or one paper in particular in our community, and not once have they been printed, not once. And then when I read the paper, I see people, and more or less it's always the same thing, the church, HIV, AIDS, you know what I mean, and not any solutions just per se, just comments, but even people I've never heard of, I've never seen their name anywhere. So, we have a problem. We need a new voice in the black community, the Malian community. We definitely need alternative voices. Okay, about the village. sometimes I wonder. I think the worst thing that happened to us out of all the beautiful things, the worst mistake that we made after accomplishments and gains in the civil rights movement, was leaving the responsibility of our education still in the hands of our oppressors. I remember when the public school system in St. Louis worked. In fact, it must have worked all over the country because that's when, out of our communities for the first time since Reconstruction, we come with Congress people, mayors, more attorneys. I mean, just all the professions were experiencing an influx of Malian people as a result of efforts and gains in the civil rights movement. Since then, it's been in total reverse, especially our educational system. It's been in total reverse. Here in St. Louis, I was a freshman at Vashon on McLeod the last year we had it before it was transferred to Hadley. Hadley already had a reputation of gunplay and a lot of things, as well as a lot of graduates, a lot of smart students. But we didn't have any frictions like that at Vashon. And since then, it's been all downhill. For the last 40 years, people have been coming up with all of these different solutions, imported superintendents, staggering salaries, and it's still not working. This is by design. This is no twist of fate or something. This is all its method to this madness. And we are crippled by a lack of leadership, a lack of truly committed leadership. I've seen these clergymen, these clergy coalition type guys. I've seen our so-called leaders. And in St. Louis, I've come to the conclusion, maybe four or five people that's in the forefront that we always hear of or see in the news, out of all of them, maybe four or five, are truly committed to what our community needs and what we're about. The rest of them, they're just putting on a facade. They're just putting on a facade. Oh, we had a caller criticizing parents and not realizing the importance and effectiveness of a community indeed being responsible for a child. This kind of division, sometimes I think, is sown intentionally because we haven't made it. The progress that we made has been in reverse. People are still looking for the same solutions, and it's not working, especially waiting on the system to straighten up our educational system.
I think your point is well taken, brother. I'm not going to be here that long, and so I want to try to clear the boards before I leave.
I understand, sister. I appreciate the time. I wish I could call you every hour some days. Other days, I just listen. But as soon as I can, I'd like to talk to you again.
All right, brother. Take care. Peace be with you also. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Irene J. Smith.
Good morning, Eugene.
Yeah, I had a question. The last time an African American ran on the statewide ticket was Alan Wheaton in 1994. And I was just thinking, can an African American woman, whether it be Maida Coleman or Darlene Green, win statewide and send for a state auditor or et cetera?
I don't know. I don't predict the future. I say that if it's in your spirit and that's what you believe that you ought to do, you ought to go for it. But I can't predict the future in terms of who could win. I mean, I don't know. You know,
African American woman or African American period.
And I said, I don't know. Anything is possible. You know, it's possible that certainly someone could win. It's certainly possible. Stranger things have happened. It certainly will take a tremendous effort on the part of the candidate and those that support the candidate. So, what do you think, Eugene?
Well, I would hope so. I know Calvin Simmons. He ran for state treasurer and then dropped out. And then,
I think one of the things that really hurt us. Community and hurt us as a state. And when individuals such as yourself, because as I recall, you were one of the individuals that supported term limits. And as soon as African Americans were in positions of power in the state, they had to basically give up their state rep seats and the senatorial seats. And as a result, there's a tremendous void in Jefferson City, to the point that when you get to the point where you understand the process and you know how to maneuver the process, your term is up. And that works only to the advantage, in my estimation, of the executive branch and to the lobbyists. But I'm going to move on, Eugene, because I'm going to try to get another call in before the break. Have
okay.
a good day. Renee.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
I want to comment on an article that appeared in the paper last Thursday.
Go right ahead.
On police officer Reginald Williams, and there was a police officer also named in a lawsuit with Reginald Williams, and that's Ryan Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very enraged. I became familiar with Ryan Cousins on April 3rd of 2001. Ryan Cousins was responsible for shooting my son, Jerome Johnson, 9 times, which he was later acquitted. Jerome was later acquitted of all charges. But I became enraged because during the time he was shot, Ryan Cousins made a police report that was changed twice. Then he turned around and made a deposition that was changed in trial. And in short, he perjured himself. And I cannot understand why this police officer is allowed to keep breaking the law. At the time my son was shot, April 3rd of 2001, Ryan Cousins had been on the force for 8 years. Out of those 8 years, he was involved in seven shootings. And I don't understand why it is that a closer look hasn't been placed on this officer. He is a rogue, bad cop. And someone needs to stand up and take notice.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the situation that you're describing, Renee, yes, exactly points to the reason why we need a civilian oversight.
Civilian
over,
yes.
Where the members are not selected by the mayor of the city, but they partially perhaps are elected and maybe some appointed, but we certainly need an independent civilian oversight board with subpoena power.
And we cannot keep allowing the police department to be responsible for making these bad police officers responsible for their actions, because it would never happen. It goes back to the story of Ryan Cousins, who has a history of breaking the law and getting away with it.
Okay, dear, we're nearing a break time. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, you're welcome.
This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is First Ward Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. I'm not the Alderwoman anymore. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is vacationing. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with you very shortly.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro?
Really?
Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. You see, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m., along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's the Adjustment Zone. With me, Craig Skubick, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
My.
Just breaking news. Superdome evacuation has been halted just minutes ago amid gunfire. The evacuation of the Superdome was suspended after shots were fired at a military helicopter. An ambulance official overseeing the operation said no immediate injuries were reported. It's indicated that they have suspended operations until they gain control of the Superdome. Apparently, a helicopter was planning to land. There were about 100 people on the landing pad. Some of them had guns. I guess the pilot was anticipating that some were going to use the guns to forcibly come on the helicopter. So the flyer was understandably frightened and did not land it. It was said that medics were calling him and crying to help because they were so scared of people with guns at the Superdome. My, my, my. Lord, the situation in New Orleans is growing out of control as we speak, and I think part of that understanding that the conduct of the individuals is certainly not acceptable, but I think a lot of it is attributable to the fact of the federal government's slow response to the disasters that have occurred throughout the South, and we are hopeful that this situation can come under control so that the emphasis will be placed more on saving people's lives and getting them out of there rather than trying to deal with individuals who are going around shooting and doing things of this nature. I mean, the situation has to get under control because of the National Guards that are being called in. Is my understanding a third of them are going to be assigned to just simply keeping order. So, sisters and brothers, this is certainly a time for much prayer. And, of course, anything that you can do at this time, of course, most of the agencies are asking for money. So if you have that to do, please do that. If you have blood to give, again, blood supplies are down. Please contact the Red Cross to give donations. I'm going to take a call. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I called. How are you, Ms. Smith?
I'm fine.
I called about an incident that happened to me, an accident I had some years ago where I fell at Home Depot and, like, injured my leg and head. A week ago, I heard him talking about a right to sue. I had this attorney who, when I hit my head, knocked my teeth loose, he called it soft tissue injury. And I took treatments for that, had to change my mattress, my leg was twisted, so he called me in. But before then,
Can I ask you this? Do you have a specific question? The boards are completely lit up, and I want to try to clear the boards before I get out of here. Do you have a specific question you want to ask or something?
Specific question?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I was just talking about an incident that happened to me injured, and they were talking about a right, a week ago, right to sue, almost a week ago. Did you have a right to sue?
Are you talking about the limitations on malpractice suits, or is that what you're talking about? That's what they basically was in the news that was being talked about a great deal, or maybe it's something else that I'm not familiar with.
No, it's just the treatment. Most less is the treatment that I got.
Okay, well, that you're probably talking about a malpractice suit in terms if you don't think you get sufficient treatment.
I don't think I got sufficient treatment. And most of us don't know who to get, how to get, but the way I was treated and then said that I would have to make up my mind for the settlement, which was too small.
Okay.
And for the injury that I have now, like I said, the injury I had now, I fell on my head on concrete.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
And I didn't get the proper treatment. Then someone ran into me again. And then he didn't do anything about that case. I recommended back to him before all this happened. But on the end, what I'm trying to say, I had to fire him and try to get another attorney, and I was not able to. I mean, I got different attorneys. He wouldn't turn in anything to this attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I'm having a problem getting that, and I'm having a problem after 3 or 4 years.
Let me say this. You have a right to a copy of your file, and, you know, you can make just a written request for that copy, and certainly the other attorney could do so. And if not, then you need to perhaps contact the Bar Association, okay?
Well, he wouldn't give it to me or this attorney, the other attorney that he has.
Okay, Miss Esther, I'm going to move along so I can get some other calls in before the end of the hour, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Good morning, Car Farm.
How you doing, Irene?
I'm okay.
Irene, you're a judge. You was a judge, right?
Yeah, one time.
Could you explain to me how these white men can get away, they can commit a crime and be 30 or 40 years before they go to jail? I noticed that they just sent this priest to jail for life. Something happened 30 or 40 years ago. But it's just the idea how they can commit a crime.
If you commit one of the things in this situation, brother, is that the victim didn't come forward until just now. So you can't, I mean, in order to prosecute a crime, you have to have a witness and you know, a victim or that is willing to testify.
Now, are you saying that none of these crime by priests wasn't proven years ago and they didn't go to jail?
My brother, that is not what you asked me. I did not make... Wait a minute now.
Yeah.
Okay, you asked me a very specific question. And you did not... I'm not saying anything. I don't know. Sure, probably this was brought to the attention. It is my belief that there was a widespread cover-up of abuses that were happening in the Catholic Church, okay?
I believe that.
But with respect to specific incidents, I don't know. You asked me why, was it any proof 30 years ago? I don't know, because I don't know the circumstances of that specific church. But I do know that in order to prosecute a case, that you have to have a complaining victim and a witness that is willing to cooperate. And also, you had some duplicity on the part, I believe, of the circuit attorney's office who was not inclined to prosecute cases against Catholic priests. Okay?
But
I got a full board.
Yeah,
No. Yeah, I am Catholic. Call back in tomorrow. We can discuss this more fully.
Well, y'all covered up, so.
I just said it was a cover-up. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm going to go on to the next call. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. Call me tomorrow, prisoner. Car phone.
Yes, how you doing, ma'am? Let me turn this radio off. I had a comment, and I also wanted to comment on one thing that didn't have anything to do with New Orleans, okay? First thing is I believe, Irene J. Smith, that our government should have had everything set up to go over there day one after the last raindrop fell.
They
take enough money from us every year, from our taxes, from us poor people and lower middle class people, to where this should be taken care of, okay? And I don't understand why. Now, I don't have a problem with it. I don't understand why they always have us giving money when our government is supposed to have that taken care of already as far as national disasters.
I totally agree with you in terms of that. But I still encourage people to give because, I understand what you're saying. They should have been there when the situation worsened, just like they tell people, well, you should have knew better, you should have got out. I say the same thing to the government. You knew that it was going to be a bad situation, so you should have been ready to immediately respond. Let me get these other two callers off before I leave.
Okay.
Brother, feel free to call back in tomorrow. And I'm very serious, prisoner. We can continue the discussion about Catholics and the priests, but I know your position on it, and I know that there was a cover-up. Okay.
Can I ask one question before you
go ahead?
Do you happen to know who the alder person would be in Baden?
The alder person for Baden is Dion Flowers.
Dion Flowers?
Yes.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Yeah. Irene?
Yes, go right ahead.
I've been listening to a wake-up call for a long time, and I'm really sorry that you're not the mayor, because I think that you're very intelligent, you're very articulate, and the African-American community needs to embrace its own more. But I would want to say, yesterday I saw on television where there was a person who was looting down in New Orleans, and this guy put a shotgun on him. All he had was some clothes. He was a poor man, lost all his clothes. He just had some clothes in his hand. The guy put a shotgun on him. I thought that was ridiculous.
Well, I thought it was ridiculous. The brother that had all them clothes in his hands, you know, I wasn't very sympathetic. But what I thought was ridiculous was the brother that had the water and the potato chips and the police put a shotgun on him. Brother, let me get one more call in. Feel free to call me tomorrow. I'm going to be out of here in about 2 minutes. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
All right.
All right. Guy, you'll have the last say.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just really want to tell you how much I appreciate the music. The music is great.
I love Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Sarah Vaughan, and even some Marvin Gaye. So I just want to thank you.
All right. Look, this has been the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. I'll be back with you tomorrow from 7 to 10. In the meantime, stay tuned for the next host. Contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Keith Gary will be the next host, so stay tuned for Brother Keith. Have a good day.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
And there's no doubt in my mind, as I sit here talking to you, that New Orleans is going to rise up again as a great city.
President Bush, in an exclusive interview this morning with ABC's Good Morning America, the president said he'll visit the hurricane zone as soon as possible. There are reports of shots fired at an emergency services helicopter near the New Orleans Superdome. That chopper is escorting refugee buses en route to the Astrodome in Houston. The American Red Cross is filling the Astrodome with cots and portable showers and other means of helping the thousands of refugees recover from their ordeal. Margaret O'Brien Molina with the Red Cross says they'll also be able to make phone calls.
We are being inundated with phone calls about, have you seen him? Have you seen her? How do I find out about them?
Also this morning, German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder says his country is ready to help the U.S. in any way it can. Social Security checks will still arrive by direct deposit, but the government is making plans for emergency payments for hurricane survivor recipients who don't have mail service. In Hattiesburg, Mississippi, police are holding a suspect they say killed his sister over a bag of ice. He's accused of shooting her in the head in a street corner. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky has more from Biloxi, Mississippi.
For desperate days, people here lived with nothing. But in the dark of night and now the dawn of morning, the National Guard offloads water and ice from 18-wheelers, the first relief supplies to make it here to Biloxi. There was scattered applause when the headlights of the trucks became visible, but still desperation in the eyes of victims. One man said seeing bottled water gave him goosebumps. A woman cried.
ABC's Aaron Kuchersky. Most of Mississippi's Gulf Coast casinos are wrecked, but that's not stopping the looters. They're picking through the scattered slot machines and trying to break them open for coins. This is ABC News.
If you're interested in investing in real estate, but you think it's out of reach, maybe you can't seem to find the money for a down payment, I've got a winning solution, your retirement account. That's right, you can tap money in your IRA to buy investment real estate. In a moment, what you need to know.
If you're thinking about taking advantage of the equity in your home, visit LendingTree.com, where you can get up to 4 customized offers that you can compare and act on instantly. Whether you want a home equity loan or are looking to refinance your mortgage, when banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Call 1-800-555-TREE. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Today, about 2% of IRA money is invested in real estate, double the number 2 years ago. By using what's called a self-directed IRA, you can invest in everything from land and apartments to shopping centers and even commercial buildings. You get the same ability to leverage your money through real estate, plus cut the taxes on your profits. To get started, check with a bank, brokerage firm, or your IRA administrator about creating a self-directed IRA.
The hurricane crisis is a living nightmare for survivors, but what about their pets? ABC's Vic Ratner reports from Bunky, Louisiana.
There was no way Kimberly Easterling was leaving her flooded home without her 2 dogs and 2 cats.
Not a snowball's chance. Because they're family.
Most shelters won't take pets, but an organization called Pets with People has taken in Kimberly and dozens of others.
Don't know when we're going home or exactly what we're going to find when we get there.
At last count, the Pets with People shelter had 14 cats, 20 or so dogs, a half dozen birds, and 1 chinchilla. Vic Ratner, ABC News, Bunky, Louisiana.
In other news, opening statements are set this morning in Burbank, California, in the wrongful death lawsuit against actor Robert Blake. He was acquitted of his wife Bonnie Lee Bakley's murder in a criminal trial earlier this year. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, National Guard troops from Missouri are joining the effort to clean up and rebuild from Hurricane Katrina. About 1,000 guardsmen are set to leave for Louisiana and Mississippi today. Spence Jackson, a spokesman for Governor Matt Blunt, says that troop commitment may increase.
General King Sidwell, who's the head of our state National Guard, believes that our commitment could rise at some point to around 2,000 troops. We've got a good force here in Missouri. Recruiting numbers are up.
The troops from Missouri will include specialists in such areas as transportation and engineering. Volunteers with the local chapter of the American Red Cross and the Humane Society of Missouri are also working in the hurricane-ravaged region. As the State Medicaid Reform Commission continues into a second day of hearings, some local advocates are asking the commission to take more time to hear their concerns. Protesters rallied outside yesterday's hearing, saying the commission has gone out of its way to exclude people who will be affected by the cuts to Medicaid. The second day of testimony begins at 9 this morning at St. Louis Children's Hospital. Auditor Claire McCaskill is getting support from organized labor on her run for the U.S. Senate. Glenn Cagey Jr., a legislative chair for the UAW Local 136, says he's hoping for a victory against Senator Jim Talent. McCaskill announced her bid for the Senate race on Tuesday. She says it's time for someone to represent the state who can do the things that are necessary to take care of average Missourians. Finally this hour, the Cardinals recalled catcher Mike Mahoney from AAA Memphis yesterday and sent down reliever Randy Flores. The move sets the Redbirds' active roster at 14 position players and 11 pitchers, which is the setup the team will have for the postseason. With rosters expanding today, the Cards' official website reports that the team will add 3 pitchers and 2 position players in time for tomorrow night's game at Houston. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sears. Right now, Sears has every kind of jeans for every kind of person on sale. Levi's, Bongo, LEI, U.S. Polo, Lee, and more. Now through Tuesday at Sears. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the makers of new maximum strength Zantac 150. Westbound 70 at Riverview, there's an accident. The right shoulder is blocked. Expect a slowdown. Southbound 270 at Dorset, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic jams approaching 70. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44. Accident's been cleared, but traffic is bumper-to-bumper in pockets from 21 all the way to 44. Westbound 70 at 94. There's road construction. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270. Look for slow traffic in the right lane as you make those 270 approaches. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor all the way into Mason. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 255 from Coke to Lee May Ferry. No problems to report. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Just heavy in the right lane as you go from New Florissant all the way into 170. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic to report. Eastbound 40 between Spady and 170, you've got slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 40 between the Grand Forest Park Parkway exit is closed until 11:30 due to construction. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Kings Highway to Grand, traffic is heavier than normal this hour. Westbound 5570 split from Exchange onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. You've got slow traffic and westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume in your 8 a.m. commute. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by new maximum strength Zantac 150. New maximum strength Zantac 150. So fast it prevents or quickly relieves tough heartburn, the speed you need against heartburn. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday, partly sunny skies today, high in the upper 80s this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. For Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Friday evening, mostly clear, once again, with a low in the lower 60s. Then on Saturday, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under overcast conditions, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well, with some clouds. Liz Brown is on vacation until September 12th. Stay tuned. Keith Gray is up next, filling in for her. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the wake-up call. Normally, you hear me speaking, and typically my show is called Higher Ground, and that is my goal, to achieve higher ground. But this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I am starting off on higher ground. I am on the morning wake-up call, Liz Brown's show, what I aspire to be. Now, this is an area where issues are addressed, where entities are confronted, and where solutions are either discovered or created. Welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Keith Gray, sitting in for Liz Brown. The numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. I'd like to make a point this morning. I often hear people talking about it takes a community to raise a child. That's a very commonly used phrase in the African-American community and in other communities, but specifically in the African-American community. I've often heard that phrase used, and when people refer to that statement, they often talk about how when you got in trouble in the community, individuals or people in your community took notice of you and dealt with you, and before you got home, you may have gotten one or two spankings dealing with those situations. But what people don't often address is the fact that you were not only punished in those situations, you were also encouraged in those situations. In the community raising a child, the community also encouraged and nurtured those children. It wasn't just the fact that someone would take you out and make sure that you were doing correct when or righted you when you were doing wrong, but they also encouraged you when you were doing not so well. They praised you when you were doing extremely well. And that's something that needs to be addressed. That's something that we often absolutely need to address as much as we addressed the negative aspects of a community raising a child. Fostering a child and dealing with the child is much more than spanking that child when they're wrong. And I hear people speak of that often, and granted, those things did occur in a great number of instances, but also there were entities within the community when students were doing well, when children were doing well, when parents did well, that encouraged those actions also. So let's acknowledge the positive as well as the aspects that righted the negatives. Granted, a community did. It does take a community to raise a child, but it takes both aspects, the positive and the negative, to get that child to where they want to be. Once again, the numbers are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life. I'm going to go to the phone lines and speak to St. Louis. Good morning. Motorcycle Man, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well, and I like what you said. As always, you are inspiration, and you try to invoke and provoke positive, creative thought.
Absolutely.
And I like that. What I was going to say is, how shall I do this? Okay, I'll just shoot it out to you. You know, when you hear, and once again, before I say this, I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm not categorizing a whole group of people. It's just for the ones that it pertains to. If the shoe fits, the person didn't find, but I'm not saying everybody is a certain way. So let's get that straight first so nobody doesn't call in after I hang up.
Okay, but
and
also.
Try to lie on me because I know you're not going to let them do that.
True, but also, also though, if you make a statement that could be construed as a blanket statement, my goal and my hope is that you would have some type of redress for the problem that you're about to address.
Well, that's the reason why I said it the way I did, because I'm not trying to make a blanket statement.
Okay.
I'm making a serious attempt not to do that.
Okay.
Now, with having said that, you hear people say, well, black folks are like crabs in a barrel mentality. The white man's ice water is colder. His spark plugs are hotter. You know, they use the N-word, but
I'm
not going to do that. But I just say
the
N-word under the hood, car no good.
We get the gist.
All the negatives, and the thing that I notice is that when we deal, and I'm not saying all of us once again, when we deal with each other, we deal totally different from when we deal with the white man. If you go to the white man's auto repair shop, you deal with him totally different than the brother that you deal with. When you deal with the brother sometimes, oh, man, can't you wait till I get my check? Oh, man, I ain't got enough money. Or it's always downtrodden hand in hand, begging, wanting something for nothing, and got some kind of oh, shuck and jive mentality.
Okay, hang on one second. Hang on one second. Okay.
Yes, sir.
There is, and I believe it's still there. I haven't been there in a while, but there's an African, I believe it's still an African-American auto repair place, or they used to change oil. It was on Delmar.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they alleviated that problem was they gave bills. When you came in to get your car repaired, it was no different than any other auto repair place.
I got you.
And I think that what you're talking about, if you deal with people in an informal manner, if you deal with them to where they come to your house to get their car repaired,
right,
then it's a possibility that you're going to get that kind of attitude.
I understand.
But formality definitely excludes a great number of the things that you're talking about. If you repair cars, I know a gentleman, and I can't think of his, well, I can't think of the name of his company, but his name is Herb, and he does handyman type duties.
I understand.
But he has an invoice that he produces. So when he does work on your home, or when he rakes your lawn or cuts your grass,
right,
he prepares an invoice. And when he prepares that invoice and hands it to you, there's no give in the fact that the invoice says you owe him $15.
I understand.
So if you, and these things are simple to get. Go to the point I'm making here is go to the stationery store, and these things, or you can print them on your home computer if you have one, or go to the library and use the home computer.
So you're saying that alleviates a mindset.
It alleviates. I'm telling you, the reason that people pay bills when they come in the mail is because those bills come in the mail and that they're formal. It alleviates a great number of the problems that you're talking about. Create an invoice.
Yeah.
People
well,
pay
you
invoices.
Know, because I respect you and I believe you're a stand-up, honest type of guy.
Motorcycle man, let me ask you,
I can dig where you're coming from.
Let me ask you this. If somebody comes, somebody comes to your house and does a repair in your home, and he says, oh, you owe me about $30.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to give him $30, or are you going to say, well, he said about, so it's negotiable?
I see what you're saying. No, believe it or not, I understand what you're saying. But also, by the same token, I see a mindset where even in certain, and I won't mention no names, but in certain lounges where they have a tendency to gouge and want to charge you more for a drink or charge you more at the door.
There's a solution for that.
And you go to some white establishments where,
there's
they,
a solution for
where
that.
They don't do that.
But
and
there's
it just
a
seems as though we have a mindset when we deal with one another that the brother's not going to do as good of a job, and we think that a lot of these black churches, you see the same thing.
See, that's
well,
not that's
hire
that's
a white that, contractor to do the
that
roofing
is,
or plumbing or
that
something.
That is a mindset,
point.
But
and
but
for
I don't
some
think
reason, they just don't think that a black person or they had a bad experience.
I don't think it's
so
as prevalent.
But white folks probably cheat them just like a black person
might
have, but they're not going to quit messing with white folks.
Okay, let me address that off
it's
the
edge. It's just a mindset is what I'm discussing.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the call, man. I think that is an idea. I think that is a mindset in some segment of the community, but I definitely don't think it's prevalent. I think that individuals will pay bills as they come in. I think if you give somebody a receipt for something or you give them an invoice, they will pay that invoice. If somebody tells me that they're charging me about $35, I might not be inclined to hand him just $35. I might say, well, you know, how about 30? I mean, that sounds negotiable. But if you tell somebody before you start working on their car what it costs, and then you hand them an invoice for that amount when you're finished, that person's going to pay that amount. If they come to your home to get their car repaired, that's not a formal situation. It's kind of like it's very like language. You know, we speak, African American people speak, there are two different kinds of languages that we speak. We speak a formal language that we need to speak when we go for job interviews and when we go to into professional environments. And there is the language that we speak at home, just as all people have a language that they speak at home. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? Anyway, let me go back to the phone lines and speak with Roosevelt Man. How are you, sir?
Yes, Keith, you know, it's hard to watch what's going on. This is America's Hiroshima. This is America's Nazi invasion of Soviet Russia, this human suffering. You know, the city of New Orleans has ceased to exist, basically. They say it'll be months before the electric's on. Thousands are dead, drowned, that they don't even know the count. They just showed a mansion where the people stayed, Keith, and it's a beautiful two-story mansion. The people are walking in water up to their waistline in their home.
Right.
This is an awesome event. It really is. It really shows you man is not really in control of this world, and that frightens people. That frightens them. You don't control the day or hour you will die. You don't control the weather. You don't control many things in this world, really.
That's true.
Economic depressions, war, etc. You know, just a handful that hold the power, but this is an awesome event,
and it
really, you know, it just keeps coming. I don't know, you know, and I don't want to, I certainly don't blame the president, but the stuff that has happened during his administration knows no equal, except I would say the Civil War, the Depression, and World War II.
Okay, hang on, Roosevelt,
okay.
Man. We can't blame him for the flooding. We can blame him for the response. We absolutely cannot blame him for the flooding, though. And believe me, I am not a fan of George Bush, and I would love to give him credit for this. But we can't blame him for the flooding. But we can say that he just got on the flooding. I believe it was yesterday when he left vacation. These people have been dealing with this at least 5 to 7 days. He just came back from vacation yesterday. So I think that definitely is an area where he's culpable. But
you know,
continue.
Keith, the thing is, you have people without a penny, no food, no water, their house destroyed. They're just roaming the streets or the interstate.
Right.
It's like really like what Stalin used to do when he shipped people to Siberia. They were just dumped into the woods, you know, with
absolutely
nothing. But I'll close with this, Keith. This flood didn't discriminate between liberals or conservatives. We had some crazy callers blaming this on the Democrats. It's reached really, with some people, I think a nuclear war or Christ could descend, and they'd still be blaming the Democrats. So it's crazy, but
right.
I'll just close with this. This is the most suffering on American soil physically since the Civil War.
Mm.
I know there was great suffering during the Depression and the Civil Rights era, but this knows no equal, really,
nothing on this scale,
since 140 years ago. And it just shows us man proposes, God disposes.
Fact.
Thank you very much, Keith.
All right.
Have a nice week and weekend.
You too, sir. All right. Absolutely. There's been nothing of this scale on American soil. Nothing. I mean, that essentially says it. And we haven't even begun to deal with the after effects. It's not over. The water's still there. The people have not been haven't had an opportunity to assess the damages. Let's move on to the next caller. How you doing there?
How you doing, Keith?
I'm great, sir. How about yourself?
All right. One thing that I find very curious, like you said, George Bush, slow response, and also, why would he get on and ask for money? And he's shipping out billions of dollars to Iraq, but he wants money from the citizens of America when he's dealing with our own people.
Well, these people, their conceit knows no bounds. Here's an interesting component of that. He fully expects to get money, and probably will get a great deal of it. I mean, it's an appeal to people's sensibilities. And you know, when we see this on television, we see New Orleans and these people's homes literally engulfed in water. We don't expect the government, specifically now that they've asked for these funds, to step in and do as much as the government can do. Some people are already writing checks, man.
This is incredible to me.
Me too.
They can spend billions. They say it costs them $1 billion a day to be in Iraq, and the president, who's very hesitant to even make comments on them, when he gets on it, he said, "Don't send any goods, anything. Send cash."
Yeah.
I mean, this is the most. This guy has no shame, man.
I know.
He hasn't even been down there. I mean, the president who had concern about his citizens. He should have been down on the second day.
Yes, sir. He had to finish his vacation, though, or get as close as he could.
But has he been criticized?
No, and he won't be. And see, that's the point. He won't be.
If that was Bill Clinton, man.
Bill Clinton would have been vilified.
Oh, my God.
He would have been vilified.
Slow response. He should have been. You should have had some reinforcements on that dam. They should have been building that dam higher as soon as it started raining.
But the thing about it is, there's something unique about this president that I definitely don't see, but that seems to be he is above reproach as far as his decisions. There's a certain element within this country that believes this man can do no wrong. He's in a war, and a war that we can't get out of, that we shouldn't have been in. But there are people that absolutely stand steadfastly and say we're doing well there.
Two years after they
declare victory.
Right. The lady who sat out there in front of Justice Ranch has been, you know, railing against him, saying that her son was unfairly treated and over there, and she just wanted some justice. Now you have people, so they got that on the news. So now you have a bunch of people on the other side of the fence saying, leave George Bush alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't even.
Well,
a single parent who's clamoring for justice for her son can't even do that in peace criticizing her.
Well, and another aspect of that is that most people look at that, and I think that, and I honestly think that that was orchestrated by the administration. The fact that there is an opposing side. But here's my point on that: the individuals on the opposing side do not diminish the fact that this woman lost her son and she wants answers to her questions. Okay, there's another woman who lost her son also, but her suffering or her agreement to the policies of the Bush administration do not diminish Mrs. Sheehan's concern and her feelings for her son and how she wants to deal with it. One thing does not offset the other.
Exactly, and for anybody to tell this woman to go home, it's incredible, because when you have lost a loved one, everybody deals with loved ones in a different manner.
Exactly.
In how they want to treat them. If this woman want to sit out there for the next 5 years, George Bush should be accepted. Like, you know what, I understand everything she's doing, and I do not agree with her feelings about her child.
Okay.
But she has not made comments like that. So, that again, that just shows you how this administration is able to get away with things, man, in the media.
Exactly.
I'm sorry to say that.
No,
this media,
that's okay,
has basically been shoved under the rug, and they no longer exist in the form in which we knew it.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, man. All right, this is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. The numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. An interesting point that the previous caller just brought up is that this could have been the situation with the woman who's Miss Sheehan, the woman whose son was murdered or was killed in the war. If you think about it, if the Bush administration had met with that parent right off the bat and then maybe set a moratorium on meetings, they could have alleviated a lot of the problems that have come from this. This administration is so sure of their actions. They are so conceited in their endeavors in that they don't take into account their actions. They don't care what they do. They make a move and they lock in. Let me go back to the phone lines, and we need a really quick call from you, Obadiah.
Yeah,
I'm about to go to a break. How you doing, sir?
All right. No, I guess that's why I like you so much, is that when you come on, you was telling about the statement about, you know, village to raise a child.
Yes, sir.
And you seem to have come from a very, very well family who really taught you about love, because that's what that statement was about.
Absolutely.
You know, it was not about a punishment. It was and all of that, you know.
Even the punishments were. And that's something that because I often hear people, like I've heard, for instance, Michael Jackson and the Wayans family. And I've heard those people on television talking about how they were abused as children. Let me state this fact. I got whippings as a child. And I can't look back on any whipping that I got as a child and then look at the action that caused that whipping and see those two entities as disproportionate. When I got a whipping as a child, I got a whipping for something that I did, and the whipping definitely agreed with what I had done.
You know, and then when you grow older and you experience what you got whipped about, sometimes you'll turn around and say, I wish Mama had a whipped me.
You know, she should have. She did owe me a little bit there. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just like another statement. You know, we hear these statements, and they come from the black communities and how black people were thinking at that time. Just like it's one about boy, I'd rather to kill you myself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and a lot of people, man, I used to hear people talking about, you know, they had them college degrees, talking about what the psychologists say, is that it made the black man grow up to be weak to this. Is because his parents had told him if he fought against the white man, you understand?
Yes.
That it was so bad until she would kill him too. And I asked my mother. You see, that's why I wanted it. If I want to know about black history, I asked the one who have lived.
Go home, yeah.
You know,
you
so
go home.
I asked my mother, why did they tell us that? And my mother looked at me with tears running out of her eyes. She said, I'm going to tell you why, son. She said, at the time, she said, if you even talk back, you talking about fighting a white boy for doing something to you. Said, but if you even talk back to a white man, said, he would kill you.
And that
exists. He said, and what we as mothers looked at and saw, that looked like a white man would get his kick by killing our kids, until I said that I would rather than to let him get his kicks off for killing my son, I would rather kill you myself.
All right.
And she said, honey, I mean that too.
All right.
And I growed up and I understood what she really meant, man.
That's the great thing about those lessons that we learned as children. You know, they come home when you're an adult.
Sure, and then you can understand and you can pass this on to your kids.
Absolutely.
You see, and this is why that you have something to do with elders. You know, we can sit up and talk about, well, you know, who wanted to teach the kids about what them old folks said years ago. But yet and still, you living a whole life on what elders said. The Constitution of the United States is what some old people said.
Yes, sir. It's circular.
The sons and fathers of this country is what some old
people
said. It's
circular. Absolutely. All right. Thanks for the call, O'Day.
Thank you.
All right. All right, this is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the Morning Wake Up Call. I'm going to go to a traffic commercial break, and I'll be right back after this message.
Oh, yes, my Lord, because there's something about the Spirit of Jesus that makes me feel good, 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 good. Well, I can love, love, love. Well, I can love. Oh, yes, my Lord. Because there's something about the Spirit of Jesus.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by the Missouri Lottery Powerball. Southbound 270 at Dorset, there's an accident cleared. Traffic jams approaching St. Charles Rock Road. Eastbound 70 Inside the express lanes at Union, there's a stall that has been cleared, so there may be a brief backup. Eastbound 44 between Merrimack River Bridge and 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane on those approaches to 270. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge, all the way into Lindbergh, no problems to report. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, and very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume as well. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh all the way into Big Bend, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Kings Highway and Grand, traffic is heavier than normal. Eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit at Broadway, is closed due to construction. You can use 11th Street as an alternate. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of Gravois and on either side of Highway 44. Westbound 5570 split from before the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for very heavy volume. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Cleeds Landing. That has finally cleared up a bit. Route 109 at 44, there's a report of an accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Missouri Lottery Powerball, with jackpots starting at $15 million. Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny skies today, high in the upper 80s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. And Saturday, pretty much the same. Mostly sunny skies, high in the upper 80s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned. Liz Brown is on vacation. However, Keith Gray is filling in for her right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour.
Ever start a project by yourself, only to find you needed someone to help you? Fact is, when you link your resources with those of others, more gets done faster and benefits more people. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has helped thousands of children in 20 countries in Europe, Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Hope for the Nations links people and resources in the U.S. and Canada to help homeless children become tomorrow's leaders, productive leaders who help their communities become self-sufficient, and help even more people. Learn more about Hope for the Nations. Find out how you can link your resources and help children throughout the world. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. This is one project that needs your help.
It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be sports talk with Kevin Paulus, as close as your computer, at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Live audio on the Internet 24/7.
All right, this is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. The numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. You can also get me on the Internet at www.wgnu.net. Ladies and gentlemen, victims of Hurricane Katrina need your help. The American Red Cross provides disaster victims with food, shelter, clothing, counseling, and more.
Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund helps victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. To make a contribution, contact the American Red Cross today. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org. Together we can save a life. I'm going to go right back to the phone lines and talk to St. Louis. Good morning, Youssef.
Yes, good morning, Keith. How you doing this morning?
I'm great, sir.
We believe that, you know, America is under divine chastisement. And no one think for one minute that because America is so mighty and so powerful, you know, that she can't be brought down to her knees, you know, because of her disobedience,
Youssef,
and treatment.
Youssef, bring me up to speed. Who is we? You said
well,
we.
Well, you know, the American nation.
Okay.
The American nation, the American people, and in particular, you know, the white American.
Okay.
A white American man, because of the injustice that has been wreaked upon our people, the black people in this nation. There's going to be divine chastisement for things. Don't nothing go unpunished, brother, in this world.
Okay.
And you can go back through civilization and ages and see what, you know, and bear witness to what we're saying right now. And this is a great, great disaster that has occurred.
But absolutely.
We can't really think that because we have the mightiest army, the mightiest navy, the mightiest air force, that we can just go and treat any nation, any people, any kind of way that we want to and don't receive some sort of chastisement. The worst is yet to come, brother. That's all I got to say. I mean, the bottom line is this is hurricane season, but we got winter to face. We got another spring, you know, rain and floods and stuff. You know, it's all kinds of stuff that can happen, brother.
Yeah. That's
you know, and if people truly believe in what they say they believe in, this Bible and the Word of God, they'll bear witness to what we're talking about in this situation and in this hour of gloom that we're facing right now with, you know, people. You know, in the predicament that they're in.
All right. Thanks for the insight, man. All right. Thanks for the insight, man. Good morning. How you doing this morning, ladies and gentlemen?
Good morning, Keith. Prince Carter here, calling long distance.
How you doing, sir?
All right. First and foremost, you know, in my opinion, if the president's talking about tapping into the Federal Oil Reserve, I think he should be also willing to take some of that oil that they're stealing from Iraq and use that as well.
I think that's fair.
You know, I was very shocked with CNN. They finally showed, because I've been concerned over the last couple of days, because I know that there are so many people that are incarcerated that shouldn't be, and the conditions that they're under.
Right.
Under that hurricane. And they did show the court building in Louisiana where they were trying to relocate the prisoners there. I know there's a lot of jailhouses in Mississippi and other parts of Louisiana that are not getting addressed.
Good point.
But, you know, I was really upset when I saw how CNN, in my opinion, were attempting to belittle black people with this allegation of what they call looting. Now, when you take under these circumstances, in these conditions, these people have lost everything.
Exactly.
And those stores are going to file all that stuff on the insurance companies and so on and so forth. Anyway, these people need food. That should not even be classified as looting. These people are in a desperate survival mode.
Exactly.
Well, and they have to take whatever means, get a hold to whatever they can to eat and survive and clothe and shelter until the help can get there. Now, had the president responded properly,
exactly,
what they should be saying,
and that's what I was going to
address. People would not have to have, you know, gone to these measures.
Well, again, I think that addresses a point that I made earlier, speaking to how this president is for just about the equivalent of the Teflon president. I mean, nothing he does is ever questioned. He
should have been prepared at the end of that hurricane. Those aides and assistants should have been immediately deployed.
Absolutely.
At the end, when that hurricane went over, they should have been ready to move in. They had plenty of time to prepare and get ready for it. Those ships should have been headed out days ago.
And not only that, there should have been some type of monitoring service or monitoring system in place that should have been acting immediately. And I definitely agree with what you're saying. There should have been an immediate response to this. And this, the fact that this individual is in the middle of a war and decides to take a 30-day vacation speaks volumes about the type of president
that
we have.
There's no question about it. One final thing before I close, I just want black folks to be mindful and watch CNN. I think they should be held accountable. CNN has not showed or displayed one white person going to any of those stores, you can't tell me black folks are the only ones trying to survive down there.
Exactly. And
why aren't they showing white folks?
It's not going to be addressed. And another aspect of it is that the hurricane was forecasted.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it was coming. So they had not necessarily time to prepare the individuals in Louisiana, but the president and the government had an opportunity to set up some type of mechanism to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
They did nothing. And this guy is just getting, I mean, he was on television yesterday. There are people literally on the road walking to Houston. There should be some type of mechanism in place already. These people are, it's the typical ready, fire, aim George Bush response. Thanks for your call, man. All right. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin?
What's up, man?
How are you, sir?
I ain't going to get cut off this time.
No, you won't. I ain't cut you off. Did I cut you?
No, I'm just kidding with you.
Okay. Come on.
Yeah, you know what? The overwhelming vast majority of people down in Louisiana are not so-called looting.
Right.
Now, considering what they're going through, if I personally was in that situation, I would be taking anything I could sell, anything I could eat, anything I could do to survive. Because that's a war-torn situation.
It's
now,
a panic.
That's horrible.
It's a disaster.
We need to commend those people for being as civil as they are. I haven't heard of one person killing another person. They keep insinuating that they're roaming. They're talking about black people, roaming groups of black men with guns, you know. But why haven't they killed anybody? It's nobody wrong. What they're doing is trying to sell advertisement.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody likes to hear hate.
It's a vicious cycle, man, and it's something that just tends to perpetuate itself. These people, they're selling, and that's something that somebody called me once recently and asked me, did I think that the news media would report negative aspects of society just to make news? And that's a gimme.
But Channel 9 did an excellent. Channel 9 did last night. I was watching Channel 9. They did an excellent. View of what's going on down in Louisiana. They show people in horrible situations and people helping each other.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what the vast majority of people are doing down there. Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I know that we always get on each other. I was listening to the one of your previous callers.
Right.
And you were talking about formality.
Yeah.
But you know what the problem is when it comes to a small business?
What's that?
When it comes, because me being, I was involved with a union, a government union, the American Federation of Government Employees,
okay.
And I met a lot of people. That did you know that Keith Gray?
Right.
With good credit, I don't know if you have good credit. I'm using you as an example.
Go ahead, I do. I'm all right, but go ahead.
I'm gonna say you have good credit.
Okay,
have good credit. It's twice as likely not to get a loan than a white person with bad credit. Now. That fact, that if you contact the AFL-CIO, they have training classes
okay.
on independent studies. And those are the only people out there that will tell the truth. That's one of the problems that small businesses have. You know, just like everything was wrong with the black community can be fixed with a job. You know,
I think that's definitely one
have,
of the fixes.
We don't have an overabundance of pedophiles. We don't have a lot of people filing ripping off the SNL scandals. You know, we don't have them people up in there. We do have bad people,
we do, but we don't have the opportunities.
We need employment.
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
a good
and
point.
We really don't need. They keep setting up these job programs. I'm telling you, man, for me beating the streets. Like you said, that they threw your application in the trash can. They're still doing that.
I wouldn't doubt it. And again, that's one of the reasons I go back if I put in an application. But thanks for the call, Kevin.
Okay,
holler at me later. All right, this is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call on WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920. I'll be right back after this break.
Mix Master! Make you wish you were dead, where you might as well be. As a matter of fact, to be exact, this is not fiction.
Asian, this is all fact. The man in the bank is dressed in black. He's all what we call
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Reminding you, if you build a better mousetrap, then better mice beat a path to your door.
Ahoy, mateys, this is your captain here. This is no time to scrub the deck. It's time to take the crew to Kids Expo 2005. Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. You'll find a shipload of family-oriented products and services, including the debut of the new Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys, plus activities and entertainment for everyone. Don't forget to stop by Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars of gifts and prizes, including the grand prize, me very own treasure chest. Set sail now for Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square and sponsored by me shipmates at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
The Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis Incorporated presents the Electric Shock Radio Hour. A call-in radio talk show airing on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, this Friday from 10 to 11 p.m., hosted by Roger Teagarden, Executive Director of Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Some of our hosts have very open minds. Listen closely, and you can hear the breeze blowing through them.
Good morning again, St. Louis. This is Keith Gray, sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call on Higher Ground. The phone numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. You can get me on the Internet at www.wgnu.net. Following this program, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., is Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen. From 12 to 1 is WEW with Debbie Donzi. From 1 to 2 is Paul McAfee. 2 to 4, Janet Jimenez, and from 4 to 6, Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan. The Humane Society of Missouri's disaster response team is traveling to Mississippi to assist national and local animal welfare and emergency management organizations in the rescue of animals in distress as a result of Hurricane Katrina. The Humane Society is concerned with the welfare of both people and animals affected by Katrina. The rescue team must be prepared for alligators, insect infestations, snakes, and high water. If you would like to help with this effort, please contact the Humane Society of Missouri's Development Office at 314-951-1542 or go online to www.hsmo.org. I'm going to go back to the phone lines and talk further with St. Louis. Good morning, C-SPAN lady.
Did you know that somebody took taking shots at the helicopters as the reason why they didn't go in there?
That was right. I heard something about that to where
they did. You know, those people are going down there to save lives. And yet, you know, and yesterday they did show white people on the on Fox News
looting
things.
Looting?
Yes, they did.
Okay, I didn't see any of it, and
well,
I couldn't.
I seen it all. I sat here and watched the whole thing.
Okay, I couldn't speak to the caller as far as that specific aspect of it because I hadn't seen it.
And here's another thing they didn't show. Now, the people were mad at the mayor down there because he never even set up anything for something like this. And they said, we never even planned on nothing like this.
Well, I can understand them being upset with the mayor, but there's also national...
But, you know, you can't blame the president.
You absolutely can blame him for this response. The response here has been deplorable.
Sir, how many phone calls did he have to make before he could even tell the people
one.
What he was going to do?
One.
Because, no,
he's the president of the United States. He makes one phone call to the people on vacation.
There is.
Oh, my gosh.
The most of them on vacation.
If they were on vacation.
The senators and representatives
if,
are still
if
not
they,
back
if they
in
were,
Washington.
If they were on vacation.
Vacation.
We can't both talk at the same time. But here's the point. The hurricane was forecasted. If they were on vacation, one phone call should have been made to the director of the National Distribution
response, the National Disaster Response Team. One for, that's all the president had to do. And everybody would have been, there's a preparation process. He would have had to make one phone call. I'm sorry, stop punching doggies and be president of the United States. This guy has to be the president. I mean, and as much as he loves being the president, he's got to do the job.
Well, he's doing the job. He's doing it the best he can. After all,
no, he's not doing it the best he can if he takes a 30-day vacation in the middle of a war. If he takes a 30-day vacation and during that vacation,
well, how about your senators and representatives down there?
Can't blame them. Can't blame them because they take
the last 25 years.
C-SPAN lady.
You know
C-SPAN lady.
Good Democrats.
C-SPAN lady.
You know that too, huh?
C-SPAN lady. They take their cues from the president. They take their cues from the president. There's no way that anybody on this planet other than the president of the United States can take culpability for this, and he won't. We both know he won't, but can take culpability for what happened here and why the response.
I know he's a good man, but I didn't know he was God.
He's not even close. He's not even close.
The Democrats have run that state for God knows how many years.
Okay.
And you people always blame the Republicans for everything.
Okay, have a great day,
C-SPAN. That's your problem right there, so you don't let people talk when they're supposed to. Bye.
Okay, have a good day. Here we go. How you doing? Next caller is Mr. Davis. How are you, sir?
Yes, good morning.
Good
Robert
morning,
Keith
sir.
Gray.
Yes.
Sorry, but this is the first time I've had a chance to hear you on the air because I'm retired, but after Liz go off, I'm, you know, pretty busy doing so much volunteer work and everything.
All right.
I don't get a chance to listen very often after she go off.
Well, sir,
so
I would like to.
I just want to say that you're doing a great, very fantastic job.
Thank you,
and
sir.
That, but I would like to have
really
a little
quick
history about you as to where you went to school.
Okay.
Your parents and
okay.
That. And then we can kind of get you in there and know you so much better.
Okay.
And that, because as I say, I'm sorry, but this is the first time I've had a chance to
fine.
Hear you, and I would like to know a little history about you
okay.
and how long you have been on the air and what time you come on now.
Okay, well, let me that's an interesting point. Let me address that off the air, and thank you for the call. And also, I would like to commend you, sir, on your volunteer work. I'm a very big proponent of people volunteering in the community, and I love to hear when people are doing it.
Oh, yes.
Right.
I'm a member of the role model program in the St. Louis public school system.
Outstanding.
There.
All right, sir.
I've been doing it for the last 7 or 8 years and that, and this last couple of years there, oh, boy, it's really been something on the public school system.
Yes, sir.
It's really been a thing.
Yes, sir.
So we have lots of work to do for
okay.
the kids because they are the ones who are coming up after us.
All right. Well, all right. I'll address that off the air. And thank you very much, sir.
Very good, young
all
man.
Right, sir.
Certainly. Sure.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Once again, my name is Keith Gray. I have my bachelor's degree. I'm working towards my master, an MBA, actually. I started on the radio here quite by accident, and some of the people that are listening have heard my story. I wrote in a letter, a qualified opposing viewpoint, such that it was pertaining to the presidential election, and it was addressing George Bush and John Kerry's military service to some extent. When I sent the letter in, I got a call from Charles Gear, and he asked me would I like to read the editorial on the air. And, of course, I said yes. And when I came in, he said he liked the way that I read it, and he also liked the quality, I guess, of my voice. And he said, would I like to sit in on a radio show? And I said, sure. And from that, I have been kind of jumping around the dial. Typically, my regular time, I believe, is Monday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. But I've done a full week. Last week, I was on every day from 12 to 2. And I'm doing Liz Brown's show here today, and again, I hope to continue. But my goal is to just to be able to impart some information, hopefully glean some information, and create an environment where people have a much more positive aspect or a positive idea of what's going on, and maybe to approach some of the problems that exist that we all know exist in a manner of solving some of those problems.
We'll come back to commercials after the break. Right now, let me do a little housekeeping. Okay. Hassan, lady and gentleman on the car phone, and Mel from Chicago, hang on 1 second. In recognition of loss and devastation left in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, the ASPCA has issued a call for help and in-kind aid for the numerous animal shelters affected by this natural disaster. With the funds raised, the ASPCA, working through its National Outreach Department, will grant money to shelters most in need of financial support as a result of the hurricane. Contributions will go directly to the ASPCA Disaster Relief Fund. To donate, please visit www.aspca.org/disaster or call 212-876-7700, extension 4516. Also, the Better Business Bureau urges the public and business owners to use caution when responding to charitable appeals in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. In addition to scam artists, some legitimate charitable organizations, while well-intentioned, may not have the resources to provide much assistance from afar. The Better Business Bureau offers reports on locally soliciting organizations. Contact the BBB at 314-645-3300 or www.contactbbb.org. The Better Business Bureau Wise Giving Alliance has reports on charities and additional tips on charitable giving at www.give.org. I am Keith Gray, sitting in for Liz Brown on the Morning Wake-Up Call on WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920.
Finds a high but comes down feeling low. Gets down on the knees and starts to pray. Looking up to heaven for the answer.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Thousands may be dead. That's what Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu says this morning at a hurricane recovery news conference. President Bush sounded very much the commander-in-chief this morning in an exclusive interview with Good Morning America, saying the country can carry the twin burdens of war in Iraq and hurricane recovery.
We can win the war on terror, and we must win the war on terror. Security of this nation is at stake, and we'll help the people of New Orleans and Mississippi and Alabama as well.
Mr. Bush says he'll visit the Gulf Coast disaster zone as soon as possible. In New Orleans, the Superdome evacuation was suspended for a while after shots were fired at a military helicopter hovering above. It was also bad on the ground, where thousands of hurricane survivors rushed from nearby hotels, trying to climb aboard the buses taking evacuees to the Houston Astrodome. ABC's Chris Bury is there and says reinforcements are arriving.
The Louisiana State Police have arrived with dozens of police officers. The National Guard, military police units are now on scene. So the security situation, at least on the outskirts of New Orleans, seems to have improved dramatically since last night.
Relief supplies are finally starting to arrive in the area, but who knows how long it will take for everyone to get ice, fresh water, food, and some rest. This woman waiting in line in Biloxi, Mississippi, says she was an Army Sergeant First Class in Iraq last year.
This is worse than Iraq. This is worse than Baghdad. I mean, it's devastating.
Much of Mississippi is still without power. That's around 750,000 customers. Gas prices in the Atlanta area are approaching $5 a gallon, so Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue is asking motorists to conserve fuel.
Any of those discretionary trips or driving that can be delayed, please do that until we're over this temporary threat.
Gas futures, meanwhile, have surged up to past $69 a barrel. This is ABC News.
The year, 1989. Big hair was in, then out, then in again. Everyone danced the lumbado, and a bright guy named Charlie bought a red convertible. 15 years and 98,000 miles later, Charlie and his car still turn heads, because Charlie uses Castrol GTX High Mileage. It's formulated to help extend engine life and protect against oil burn-off better than competitive leading oils. So Charlie and his car can see what tomorrow's big craze will be.
Help older cars feel young again with Castrol GTX High Mileage.
My top three reasons to paint something. Number three, the sheer joy of picking my color from a rainbow of paint chips. Number two, getting everything I need in one place so I don't have to run all over town. And the number one reason, saving some money.
Now through Labor Day, save on Glidden Evermore paint with $5 off 1 gallon cans and $20 off 5 gallon buckets by mail-in rebate, interior or exterior. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. stores only. See store for details.
A Russian city commemorates the siege 1 year ago today that claimed the lives of 331 people, most of them kids.
Beslan School number 1, a year ago. Security forces stormed the school after a 2-day hostage siege. The school still stands, its bloody walls and photos of the dead, a chilling reminder of what happened when armed Chechen rebels took over, and the Russian authorities say some relatives botched the rescue operation. Meanwhile, in other parts of Russia, kids carrying flowers for their teachers returned to school amidst tight security. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
The Commerce Department says Americans spent strongly in July, in large part because of those employee discounts from automakers. But analysts say some of that spending money came from savings accounts. Consumer spending increased by a full percentage point in July. Incomes were up by 0.3%. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, 27 volunteers from the St. Louis chapter of the American Red Cross are helping to manage emergency shelters and distribute food and water throughout the impacted areas of the Gulf Coast. Stephen Hall, a spokesperson for the local American Red Cross chapter, says you can also donate blood or money to support relief efforts. For more information, visit www.redcrossstl.org. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt is taking up the recommendations of his school bus safety task force. Blunt says he will be working on legislation which requires lap and shoulder seat belts in all newly purchased Missouri school buses. Blunt explains why all buses will not be fitted with seat belts.
School bus transportation is one of the safest ways to get to and from school. This is the safest way to get to and from school. So school bus transit is safe in Missouri today. We certainly can make it safer, but we need to do so in a way that is affordable for taxpayers.
Blunt says the measure will cost between $5 and $10 million each year, but he says he thinks the improvements can be financed without a tax increase. The governor's plans come after the School Bus Safety Task Force recommended that school districts consider replacing their fleets with buses equipped with seat belts. Efforts to improve our nation's waterways are a priority. That was the message at yesterday's wrap-up of the White House Conference on Cooperative Conservation. White House cabinet members didn't get to stay for the final day of the conference. They had to meet with President Bush yesterday to begin the Hurricane Katrina Reconstruction Task Force. The 3-day conference in downtown St. Louis was the first one in 40 years. Finally this hour, the Rams will not face former teammate Trent Green when they conclude the preseason against the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow night at the Edward Jones Dome. Green, a former B&E star, underwent a minor procedure Tuesday to take care of numbness he had been experiencing in his lower leg and foot. Jonathan Quinn will start at quarterback for the Chiefs in Green's place. As for the Rams starters, they will see limited action in an effort to stay healthy after racking up 21 first-half points in a win at Detroit on Monday. The regular season opener takes place a week from Sunday in San Francisco. Kickoff tomorrow night is scheduled for 7 o'clock. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Traffic Law Hotline. If you get a speeding ticket, driving while suspended, or DWI, Traffic Law Hotline will give your case prompt personal attention. So call the Traffic Law Hotline at 314-TRA-FFIC. That's 314-TRAFFIC. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 5570 before 157, there's a report of an injury accident. Two right lanes are closed. Expect delays near Illinois 159. Eastbound 5570 split at 157. All roadways are reopened after an earlier westbound accident. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge is road construction. The right lane is closed. closed as crews are in the final stage of bridge work. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 70th 94. Look for road construction. The left lane is closed. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge. Everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 from Cana Rocks Bridge all the way into New Florissant. No problems to report this hour. Westbound 40 ramp to Forest Park Parkway is closed until 11:30 due to construction. Traffic is backed up most of the way from Jefferson to Boyle. In both directions, 40 and Hanley, that traffic is easing. Eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit on Broadway is closed, so you can use the 11th Street exit to get around that. Northbound 270 at 44, everything's running smoothly. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB. Look for that traffic to return back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way to Laclede's Landing looks good. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle the best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with a purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Partly sunny skies today, high in the upper 80s for this evening. Partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Friday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 60s. And on Saturday, pretty much the same. Mostly sunny skies, a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under partly cloudy skies, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting some clouds and 73. Liz Brown is on vacation until September the 12th. Until then, we have Keith Gray today filling in for her on the wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
How is the financial health of your family? Had a checkup lately? Some of us know our finances could be better, but it's easier, at least in the short run, to look the other way and not delve into the root of our financial issues. These will seem obvious when I tell you, but here are some signs that you're headed for or are in financial trouble. You consistently overdraw your bank account, spend more money than you earn, have no savings, only make minimum monthly payments or skip your credit card payments, use cash advances on credit cards to pay other bills, get calls from collection agencies, don't really know how much money you owe, and constantly worry about money. This doesn't mean you have to file for bankruptcy, but do put yourself on a budget and consider professional help. There are nonprofit organizations available to help you, and if you have an employee assistance program at work, consider using it. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
Not much more time to decide. Prophets have all prophesied. We only have a few more miles to go. The news says it's all going wrong.
All right, good morning again, St. Louis. This is Keith Gray, sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. The numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468. Or 1-877-920-WGNU. You can get me on the internet at www.wgnu.net. Following this program from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. is Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen. From 12 to 1, you have Debbie Donzi with WEW. From 1 to 2, you have Paul McAfee. 2 to 4, Janet Jimenez. And from 4 to 6 p.m., you have Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan. Help victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life. I'm going to go back to the phone lines and speak with St. Louis. Good morning, Hassan. How are you, sir?
Good morning, and peace be with you this day, man.
And
how
to
you doing?
I'm outstanding. How about yourself?
I've heard you before, but like, you know, you just talked about before the news. I've heard you in day, night, whatever.
Yeah, I'm kind of...
I say, hey, who is this brother? I think one day... When you were giving your history, I heard you. You're
right.
In your 30s?
Yes.
I remembered your voice. Believe it or not, I have about 5 items to touch in a short period of time, all related to the president and or this hurricane.
Let's go on quickly.
First of all, the vacation.
Okay.
From the beginning, it was scheduled for 35 days, not 30.
Right.
So he needed an additional additional fine.
Well, of course, all that stress.
As far as he being a Teflon president in the likes of Reagan, everyone who has come out publicly to say anything against this man since he's been in office has had to recant or retract their statements, apologize. But I don't care if they were in the entertainment field, if they were politicians. Unfortunately, the athletes, unlike the 60s, have not been involved in anything political since this scoundrel took office. But, oh, yeah, everything slides right off of them.
Okay.
Okay, now, as far as giving money, Americans want to and like to be known as a compassionate people.
Exactly.
Although the country been killing people almost every decade of our existence since it started. And when things like this happen, yes, people want to give money.
But and that's an important point. The fact that he made that appeal almost guarantees that there are going to be large contingencies.
Brother, because they play on our emotions and insult our intelligence.
Okay.
Okay, so, but I busted. No, I didn't bust, but when in the early 70s when I worked at the Postal Service, I wouldn't contribute to the United Way.
Okay.
And all the supervisors wanted 100% participation. But I had read articles where, you know, these not-for-profit organizations with these people who went around stumping for them and everything.
Sure.
By the time the needy got help, it was anywhere from only 24 to 32 cents of every dollar that was directed toward the poor.
There was a big expose about that in the 80s, and there were a lot of fail safes put in place so that agencies couldn't do that to the extent that they were doing it in the 70s and in the 80s.
I would really hope it works because, my knowledge, you still cannot get into the books.
I was going to say, I'm not saying that it worked, but I'm definitely saying it was addressed in some measure.
Mm-hmm. And this was the, I left the post office in 72 in that decade, so this was before then. I would not give them a dollar.
Okay.
All they wanted was a dollar.
Okay.
It's literally throwing your money up into a stiff breeze without a clue of where it was settled.
Yeah.
It really is. And billions have been missing in the food for oil scandal with the United Nations. This guy that Bush made president of the World Bank recently was running things, one of Karl Rove's proteges, in Iraq after victory was declared. $20 billion is still unaccounted for.
Yeah.
As far as the response to this, brother, they are doing the best that they can. The National Guard and the equipment and the reserve are in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It's in Iraq.
Yeah.
It's in Bosnia, Herzegovina.
And that's something that's not being addressed.
That's right. They are doing the best that they can.
Yeah.
Between stealing all the money that they're stealing and allocating the resources in the way that they have, people don't believe we're not as powerful and as strong as this nation used to be.
And again, this given the way that we're stretched out, it would be hard to prepare for something like this. But again, I still think that we need to address the fact that there was that the hurricane was forecasted. They had time to set mechanisms in place to deal with it better than they are dealing with it now. And even though that's hindsight, it definitely needs to be addressed, and it also needs to be dealt with because we have not. And no one is a drug in. It goes back to that Teflon president vibe. This guy can do no wrong.
Absolutely. But one thing about it, it's all coming to bear very soon. The resources are being depleted. And the only thing left are a very unpopular alternative, such as reinstituting the draft, raising taxes on the poor even higher as he decreases taxes for the wealthiest people in the country. It's all coming to a head very soon.
I think it also speaks to the hubris of this organization, the level of conceit that they have, the level they don't believe that they can be challenged.
Total agreement.
And they aren't.
Total agreement.
Right.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Not long ago, you know, all the bad storms used to be named after females only, and
right.
then they started including men's names where they would alternate the names.
Right.
Henry, okay, this one is Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
In the Holy Quran, Allah teaches us that the unbelievers will assign female names to the angels, and indeed the wind is one of God's angels, not these feathered haloed creatures we've been conditioned with, with Caucasian, blonde hair and blue eyes. Unseen entities that have reality in creation. Just what's happening between us now, the force of sound.
All right.
And it's not appealing to the physical eye, it's appealing to the mind's eye. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks
brother.
For the insight,
sir. I'll call you again.
I'll be around. Good morning. Cell phone. How you doing, ma'am? Hello? Turn down your radio. Ma'am?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm outstanding. How about yourself, ma'am?
Okay. I have a few things to say, and I'm going to hang up. First of all, I was listening to a program. It came on late. I stayed up late listening to a Coast to Coast or something. It comes on 5 to AM, something like that. But they were talking about weather manipulation of technology.
Uh-huh.
The terrorists, you know, manipulating the weather.
Okay.
Trauma like that. Across the seas and here in New Orleans, and also.
So you're in New Orleans?
Sir.
I'm sorry. Are you in New Orleans?
Oh no, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
No, sir. I was just kind of, you know.
No, that's okay. I understand.
Going around some questions for you, and I'll hang up. Maybe somebody else can answer them.
Okay.
You know, weather manipulations through technology, and also number two, what's AARP and who are they? And then number three, there was some brothers that turned on CNN. They were walking, and these black brothers said they were approached by white cops. And the cops asked them, where are you going? And they said, what do you have on you? We're patting them down. And so one of the black brothers said, well, we don't have anything because we're wet. We're soaking wet. Do you see a gun on us? Mm-hmm. And they stripped them of their shoes and clothes and everything. And one of the brothers, white cops, said, shut up. Get going like that.
Okay.
So they went on and went into a store and looted and got some more shoes and everything like that, you know. And also here in St. Louis, is it a possibility that they can open up their zones downtown to let some of the hurricane victims come here? What are, you know, doing here in St. Louis, like in Houston?
Sure.
And also, do they have a someone's collecting clothes where you can have a drop-off point? They can ship to Houston. I know people need clothes.
I think all those are very good points. The only one that I can actually address is the AARP. That's the American American Association of Retired Persons. And basically, mm-hmm. they're a senior citizens group that deals with issues that concern senior citizens. As far as the weather manipulation, I sincerely hope not, because we have created an environment in this country to where if someone can, and I don't think so, but if they can manipulate the weather, that is a really scary concept, specifically considering what's going on in New Orleans now.
Yeah, they were talking about that on another station and everything with technology and then the terrorists being. And I would let you go. A lady called in. It was a movie in 1970. I'll find out the movie. I hope she calls back. The movie was made in the 70s.
Right.
That she watched. And where hot weather, the swimmers call and they swim down into the ocean floor. Well, these swimmers, they swim down to the ocean floor
mm-hmm.
and connected bombs, you know, underneath the floor where they can trigger them to a tsunami. I hope she calls back in.
Okay.
Find out the name of the movie, you know, the name of the movie that had demonstrated that.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm enjoying you and Irene, and you all have a beautiful day.
Thank you, ma'am. You too. All right. Okay, she spoke about a couple of topics, specifically opening up St. Louis and then someone collecting clothes. I'm not familiar with any specific types of endeavors in those areas, but I think it would be definitely something that would be appreciated by the people in New Orleans if somebody is considering that in helping out in New Orleans. As far as manipulating the weather, yeah, only thing I can think of is the cloud seeding, and then that's not even definitive. That's not something that you can. I mean, you can do it to some degree, but it's not something that's specifically you can do definitively. As far as manipulating the weather, I don't think so, and I sincerely hope not, because we have created an environment where the United States is not held in high regard in a lot of places. So let me get back to the phone lines and speak with this gentleman. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, and he that has an ear to hear, let him hear.
Sir.
First of all, I'd like to speak upon the catastrophic event that happened down in New Orleans, Mississippi, and Alabama, which is Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
Very, very powerful matter has happened. Now, whether it's of the Creator, Yahweh, or whether it's of Satan himself, I don't know that, but I know that it is a spiritual act. That I do know.
Okay.
And keep in mind, as far as the manipulation of the last caller, what she said about people manipulating the weather, don't forget about what the Indians did with their rain dances and can make it rain. See, it's all dealing with spiritual. You just have to know what spirit you're dealing with.
But specifically,
whether it's of the Creator,
okay,
or whether it's of Satan.
I see where you're going, but again, there's, I mean, and I don't want to offend anyone that might be Native American, but they haven't been able to specifically do that and pinpoint an area where it's going to rain. So, I can't speak definitively and say that no one can manipulate the weather, but I don't think so. My hope is that they cannot, because in this situation that the United States is in the environment that's been created, I'm guessing that there would be quite a number of individuals that would be trying to do damage and harm to this country.
That's why I'm saying it's still all of the spirit. Just depending on what spirit you deal with, Satan has powers to do these things.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it's limited powers that he had, but we as people give him those powers.
Okay.
So that's why we must know who we're dealing with and what spirit we're dealing with.
Okay.
And based upon this catastrophic event, you know, back in the biblical days, when a catastrophe would happen upon a nation, the leaders, the priests, the kings, and all of the people in top official authorities, they would humble themselves. They would come in sackcloth and fasting and anointing themselves and ask for the Creator to forgive them of their sins. Let's see if our leaders of this day and time would do anything like that.
I can answer that for you. They're not.
They
feel like that they're already aligned with the Creator. They feel like they are already sitting at his feet, and they have been anointed. So
they will not.
They are not going
themselves.
To humble themselves.
I agree.
Another interesting point is that this doesn't affect these individuals.
Yeah, it doesn't affect them.
I'm sorry. And it's easy to stay on a ranch and keep dealing with your cows if your land is not being flooded. I'm sorry, man. I got a really difficult time dealing with the fact that this guy is just coming out on this hurricane. I really do.
I agree with you totally. Right. And the people of the St. Louis area, don't think that this couldn't happen here.
We're right by the water.
We're right by the waters. Don't think. And also, don't forget about the fault line that runs through St. Louis. Catastrophes can come at any time from any angle upon anyone.
Yeah.
So if that happened here in St. Louis, we couldn't have any power. We wouldn't have anything of clothing, of shelter, and all these things that we need. So please, people, remember, catastrophes could happen anywhere.
Well,
and
I mean,
it's definitely can happen at any particular time.
I would agree.
You can just remember that the Creator don't only humble a person. He has wiped away cities. He has done away with nations. Don't forget about the first world. He destroyed that totally. So we must realize all of these events that are happening upon the face of the earth is not based upon what we think it is. It's based upon what it actually is, and it's of a spiritual contact, and we must realize what spirit that is, whether
okay.
it's of the Creator or whether it's of the of Satan.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown. How are you this morning? Sir, how are you?
Hi, Keith. Enjoy your program.
Thank you, sir.
Keith, you had a lady on before you went to the 9 o'clock break. She said about the Republicans getting blamed for everything. I'm glad you straightened her out, Keith.
Well, there are Republicans in office, and they're making the decisions. At some point, they have to take some culpability.
She was the main person that complained about Clinton when he was in office.
Let's not specifically talk about a particular caller.
Right,
let's get general. I know. Let's
general.
Get general.
I'm glad you straightened it out.
Yes, sir.
Because they must be held accountable for.
Absolutely.
President Bush, this is on his watch and over his head.
Yes, sir.
This illegal Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, he keeps changing his mind about why they're over there. Now he's talking about they're over there because of terrorism.
No. It's not terrorism anymore. It's democracy.
Oh, democracy.
We're taking democracy to that country. It's no longer terrorism.
Now it's terrorism.
And it's not terrorism because terrorism was disproven. See,
okay.
they can't use that anymore. They can't use weapons of mass destruction or terrorism. Those are off the table.
All these lies.
It is.
Just like Keith, and like I said, Keith, we don't even know how much money's been spent over there, but we do know one thing. Halliburton gets rich as cream over there.
Yes, sir.
Halliburton getting rich as cream.
Yes, sir.
I want to leave this with you, Keith, and all those good Republican people who I want to talk about. They don't want to face the fact that Bush has lied to them, and they face it, and I call lying and denying. The great late President Franklin Delano Roosevelt made sure everybody got a Social Security check.
Yes, sir.
In the Republican Party.
Yeah, he did.
I feel this way, Keith. If they don't want that check, send it back there. Put it on their return to sender. Because he lied about Social Security was going broke. And he wanted to privatize that. He's nothing but a liar. He needs to be challenged, booked, and questioned about all these things he's been doing, Keith. And it's going to be awfully interesting, Keith, when the old 60 elections come up. How many Republicans are going to stay up in the air? Are the Democrats going to come forward? Because I do feel this in 08, Keith. He's going to leave this mess for somebody else. And
yes.
I really do. Let him leave it for a Democrat to straighten out, because his legacy will be about nothing, because this war in Iraq.
Well, just to address that really quickly, he's already stated he doesn't care about his legacy.
He doesn't care about his legacy.
He said we'll be dead, and these are the words of a president.
Go ahead,
he
Keith.
Stated that we'll all be dead anyway.
We'll all be dead anyway. Now you see that, Keith?
So why would I care? And this again is there's never been a president who didn't care about his legacy.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Never be care about his legacy. So he's telling you, I'm leaving all of us. I'm going to leave Iraq, too, so
I'm
going to
do what I want to do.
I'm going to do what I want to do. This has been one terrible mess, Keith, but like I said, the Democrats better take a hold of the reins and wake up, because I used to hate him saying, Keith, all the Republicans, they have a better plan when it comes to defense. They're better. Their plans are better than the Democrats when it comes to defense. That was a bunch of mess there. But like I said again, Keith, Franklin Delano Roosevelt left everybody a Social Security check before he left this world. And if you don't want that check, Keith, send it back. Put on the return to sender. Thank you.
All right, sir. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
It's a better now that I'm talking to you.
All right.
You know, these people in Iraq are human beings.
Indeed.
And you see, a few weeks ago, I forget the number of children that were blown up, and that's immaterial about who blew them up, really. But they're all dead, and there's a lot of suffering going on there.
Yes, sir.
And when you see when it comes home to our country and how everybody thinks how horrible this is, but they don't seem to say how horrible it is to what we're doing to the people in Iraq, because our president had a problem with one man.
Or his daddy did.
Yes, this is a man-caused tragedy over there.
Yes, sir.
Caused by one single group of politicians up there at the behest of their leader.
Who, interestingly enough, when they leave office, will probably never utter the word Iraq again.
Now, I suffer internally just as much for an Iraqi child as I do one of those poor children down there in New Orleans.
As well you should. And again, that's something that's not even addressed.
We seem to act like that they're not human. I seen a woman this morning on the news, and she had two little babies, and she was down there, and she couldn't get milk for her babies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in New Orleans.
Right.
And we've got to some of these same problems in Iraq.
Yes, sir.
And people are dying and suffering, and it makes me sick some of the attitudes we have towards those people, because our propagandists told us that they're evil.
Oh, my goodness. That's
and they had nothing to do with the Twin Towers.
Exactly. And again, that's something that definitely needs to be addressed and addressed again.
How stupid are people? Now
okay,
I'm going to say something.
Now that's a rhetorical question.
I'm going to say something that's going to make a lot of people
okay,
mad.
Go ahead, sir.
Why don't we send our faith healers down there?
Oh, my gosh.
They collect a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
And they're always laying their hands on and healing people.
And they wear beautiful things.
Awful diseases that most of us die from.
They wear beautiful things and live in opulent homes and purchase wonderful items for their families, and yet none of them are there.
Like Benny Hinn spending a couple thousand a night.
What's the woman here in the St. Louis area?
Joyce Myers.
Joyce Myers.
Yeah. Now, if anything, these faith healers should go down there with some of their money, and they should lay their hands on these old and sick and people that's in the water down there and heal them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where we need them. We don't need them up here collecting money. We need them down there healing.
Well, you know, another aspect of that is that there are no heads of state down there, so, you know, they can't call for the assassination of anyone.
Yes, yes.
So
this is really a tragedy, but it... Compare it to what's going on in Iraq, which is a double tragedy.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, the Bush administration had nothing to do with the hurricane.
No.
Nobody in this government did. I mean, that's just an act of nature.
It's an act. It's a natural disaster.
Yeah, in Iraq, it's a man-created disaster.
I would agree wholeheartedly.
One that could have been avoided.
I would agree wholeheartedly, and I thank you for your call,
thank
sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the Morning Wake-Up Call. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. I will be right back after the break.
You know, that's why, man, I be telling you all the time, man, you know, love, that word love is a very serious thing. And if you don't watch out, I tell you that. Because a lot of people out here, they say, I love my car, or I love my chain, or I'm just in love with that girl over there. So for all the people out there that fall in love with material items, we're going to bump the beat a little something like this. Junior high with a B-plus grade. At the end of the day, I don't hit the arcade. I walk from school to my mom's apartment. I gotta tell the suckers every day, don't start it. Cause where I'm at, if you're soft, you're lost. To stay on course means to roll with force. A boy named Rob.
When you're married.
In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. To find out how you can help, contact the American Red Cross today. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
Over troubled water, I will lay me down.
The American help the victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today. Together, we can save a life.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September. As part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan, you could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Lenahan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
La 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 la. You can find them on the cover of a magazine, the finest woman you'll ever see. It would be my fantasy to have them
Welcome back, St. Louis. This is Keith Gray, sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call on WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920. The numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. Following this program, you'll have Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen. From 12 to 1, you'll have WEW with Debbie Donzie. 1 to 2, Paul McAfee. 2 to 4, Janet Jimenez. And from 4 to 6 p.m., you'll have Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan. Ladies and gentlemen, within the sound of my voice, the victims of Hurricane Katrina need your help. The American Red Cross provides disaster victims with food, shelter, clothing, counseling, and more. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund helps victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters across the country each year. To make a contribution, contact the American Red Cross today. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org. Together, we can save a life. Let's get back to St. Louis and talk to you on the phone lines. Good morning, sir.
Hey,
how are
you? How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You're having a great show, man.
Thank you, sir.
I'm really enjoying it.
All right.
I guess the president didn't get his daily briefing stating that Al Katrina was destined to hit America.
You know?
Because the response that we've seen is just like the response on 9/11.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they did nothing. I mean, my brother's an air traffic controller, and he was calling me over the weekend because he was following this thing. He's in the weather division.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew what was happening, and they still sat back and didn't do anything as far as mobilizing helicopters and vehicles that could be rushed in.
Personnel.
You know, Monday night or either Tuesday morning to start.
I mean, it's amazing. This is a logistical nightmare.
It is.
The personnel are not where they need to be. The supplies are not where they need. I mean, you're wondering. Honestly, someone mentioned earlier that they were the people down there should be commended for the level of activity that is occurring, because it could be much worse. And by all rights, it should be much worse.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been watching it, and you know, it's no response. And for this man to fly over low in Air Force One, which is optimum.
Yes.
Luxury.
Yes, sir.
And not to even go there. I mean, he should have been there Tuesday.
But let me ask you a question. Were you surprised by that? I mean, anybody?
No, I wasn't.
Nobody should have
had one disaster after another under Bush Cheney. And I just look at Iraq. I mean, the same thing that we've done. We've destroyed that country. They have no light. They have no fresh water. Their sewage facility plants were all bombed. And then I'm looking down here in Louisiana and Mississippi, and it's a total disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the helicopters that we need are in Afghanistan. You know, 4,000 of the Louisiana National Guard are in Iraq or Afghanistan, along with the equipment, the high water vehicles and the generators that they have. I mean, the response. You know, people say you're blaming the president, but what we have here is we have no leadership whatsoever.
And we're accepting. Again, you have a large contingency of people who are accepting that. And I guess the point you made there, probably the most poignant point that you made there, is that we have a lack of leadership. We have an individual who gets into situations where leadership is not just called for but mandated.
Right.
And he does not step in. We have a fallen soldier whose mother wants to meet with the president. I think he should do that. I think that this guy has stepped away from he has had the opportunity to come to bat in situation after situation, and he has not stepped up to the plate.
I listened to C-SPAN in the morning. The first thing I heard this morning was people talking about shooting the looters. You know, we're going to shoot these people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
They
have nothing.
And you really have to consider the source. And
yeah.
It is ridiculous to even think about something like that.
Hey, man, look, you have a great day. And
you
I hope
too,
you
sir.
Get a permanent spot, because we need you.
I hope so, too. Thank
All
you,
right,
sir.
Man.
Have a great day. How are you this morning, TC?
How you doing, young man?
I'm getting better, sir.
I don't think I can see you very flexible, because it seems like you're there morning, noon, and night.
I'm doing what I can.
Since this clown... And that's what I call him, since he's been in office.
Yes, sir.
How many hurricanes or massive disasters have hit this country?
Well, we've had this one, and then there was the hurricane in Florida.
And we had about, what, 6 or 7 hurricanes?
We're in that area, yeah, yeah.
And some people who believe in poetic justice might say, but as you mentioned.
Yeah, but if you go that way, you've got to include the people that are being hit by these hurricanes. And I honestly don't think it's poetic justice. I think it's just really bad planning and really bad responses.
You got a caller named, I don't mean any harm name, Scott. He always says something about collateral damage when innocent people get killed in Iraq.
Sure.
Maybe this is collateral damage.
Oh, my gosh. Don't use
that. And I'm like you. I don't see how anyone could be surprised by the lack of leadership from this guy and this administration.
But as I told
you last week, I don't blame him. I blame the 51 million suckers who voted for this clown not once, but twice. All you had to do was check this man's resume or lack of resume.
I was getting ready to say, or lack thereof.
And you see that this guy was not qualified to be president of the United States, but they made excuses for him
even before
the election.
He wasn't qualified to own a baseball team, but he
remember
was given
thing,
one.
Well, you don't have to be when his grades at Harvard or whatever he was. Well, you don't have to be smart to be president. When he was criticized for his lack of speaking skills. Oh, well, you don't have to be a good speaker.
Well, you know what, though?
Clinton was a good speaker, but look what happened. He was putting on the side.
If they had included a spelling component to the presidential application, we wouldn't have this guy.
But I blame the American people
who made
excuses for the guy before he was elected and still are not held accountable. I thought Reagan had Teflon coating. But this president is not held accountable for anything. And Clinton...
You know the scary part? The scariest part about this president is that he actually makes Ronald Reagan look lucid. Okay, now go on.
That is scary.
Go on. Go on.
I think he had Alzheimer's
from the time
before it showed up.
Okay,
but it's amazing that the same people that constantly make excuses for this clown... They blame Carter and Clinton for everything.
There's no culpability.
Everything that went wrong, it was those two guys' fault. Everything that went good, it was the Republicans that took the credit.
Yes, sir.
But they haven't taken the blame. And these people that call this radio station day in and day out making excuses for this clown and this administration. And Iraq, the reason for going over there has changed 5 or 6 times.
And now it's
for Iraqi freedom.
And it's still...
And a great democracy. And
it's still on shaky ground.
And that shows you how crazy that was in the first place.
Yes,
because your greatest ally of this country is supposed to be in that region. It's not Israel. Supposed to be Saudi Arabia.
Yes, sir.
And they definitely are against democracy. Where would that kingdom be? If democracy came.
All right.
And so Saudi Arabia got their hands, and I think this played right into the oil company hands. I'm at the gas station right now, man.
Oh,
and gas is $2.99.
Yes, sir.
Now, why is gas $2.99 in St. Louis when over 50% of the refineries are not located in Louisiana, Alabama, or Florida? They're located in Texas.
But you also have to consider, too, that they are strictly monitoring price gouging. You have to keep that in mind.
Who's monitoring?
Exactly. Let me
go. Somebody said, and that's just my last point.
All right. Well, I need to go.
If gas in Atlanta is $6.
Yes, sir.
Well, 55 cents a gallon.
But it was, I heard five something, but definitely ridiculous.
He said $6.55, and like you said, all companies laughing all the way to the bank, and George James six-pack.
Are paying the freight.
The hatred for black people is the reason we're in this mess that we're in now.
Thank you very much, brother. Always enjoy you. Indeed. All right. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. I'll be right back after the break.
Jumps up on the scene with a lean and a pocket full of green. The green doesn't symbolize I made it on the top, but RoboCop last year was a shock. The tone of the Popeye cut shook your butt. Kids are screaming, the media says what? Kind of music is this for you to dance to? The man with the plan and the band demands you. Leave the smack and the crack for the whack, for the ball and the knock, keep a smile like that. Leave the knife and the gun in the store and ignore temptation sent by the nation. Free
Oh, Tip, this is Pastor Ray Higgins, and I would like to invite you to tune in to the On One Accord broadcast every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m. for the best in liberated gospel music, live talk radio, and powerful messages about truth and right spirituality. Join me right here on WGNU 920 a.m. every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m., and let's set our people free. Hotep.
We interrupt this program for an important message. Right now, you can ride the ultimate storm of the new tornado at Hurricane Harbor inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt this important message for an even more important interrupting message. Hurricane Harbor is 100% free inside Six Flags St. Louis.
We interrupt again for a message so important it can beat up the last interrupting message. You can also see Circo Magnifico, the all-new dynamic stage show featuring acrobatics that will simply amaze you.
You call that an important interrupting message? Here's an important interrupting message. Six Flags is the only place on Earth where you can get coasters like The Boss and Batman the Ride and the exhilarating Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah? Well, this is the daddy of all interrupting messages. Right now, you can buy and print discount tickets right from your home using Print and Go at SixFlags.com. Six Flags St. Louis, it's playtime.
Whoa, that was important.
Told you.
For the past several months, one question has been on the minds of WGNU listeners. Just what is a WEW? Does WEW stand for Women Empowering Women, Wild Energetic Women, or is it just a new kind of chocolate? Only one person has the answer. Tune into the WEW Show with Debbie Donzi every Thursday from noon to 1 p.m. Find out what's happening in the Metro East. Call in and talk, and be sure to ask about that chocolate. That's the WEW Show with Debbie Donzi, Thursday afternoons from 12 to 1 here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Attention drivers, honk if you love peace and quiet.
Right, St. Louis, this is Keith Gray. Back with you again. Good morning. Sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. The numbers to dial are 314-454-0400. The long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468 or 1-877-920-WGNU. You can get me on the internet at www.wgnu.net. Following this program, from 10 to 12, you will have Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen. From 12 to 1, WEW, and I hope that is Women Empowering Women with Debbie Donzi. From 1 to 2, Paul McAfee. From 2 to 4, Janet Jimenez. And from 4 to 6, Today's Solutions with Dave Linehan. I've got a full board, and I'm going to try and get to everybody before the end of this hour. Let's go. Michael, how are you, sir?
How you doing today, sir?
Outstanding.
I know your time is limited, so I'll be brief with this.
Brief,
if I could, I'd like to make three brief points, if I may.
Let's go.
Point one, for the lady who called in dealing was talking about the weather aspect.
Right.
Tell her to pull up on a computer HAARP. This is how I spell H-A-A-R-P project, okay?
That might have been what she was referring
well,
to.
Well, she didn't know about it, but she just caught some of it. So let me just go on because I know your time.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
That's one. Two, look at where the hurricane hit. It was coming up through the Gulf. It veered toward Texas. Then went to the east, okay? What you have there is a lot of people of color, mostly 80%. I've been watching the CNN, MSNBC all day long. All they're showing is people of color. A lot of people don't know 80% of that area mm-hmm. is people of color.
Okay.
Point three, what you have is prime oceanfront property.
Yes, sir.
You had 20% that was wealthy people, 80% people of color who was brought there during slavery time. I won't go into that now because your time is limited.
Okay.
Who had shacks there, actually old shacks.
Okay.
If you ever watched the picture with Carol O'Connor down in the bayou, what was the heat of the night?
Heat of the night, yes.
That's how that was.
Okay.
When this area is rebuilt, Keith, trust me, $1 million cribs, $1 million development, and those people who lived in them shacks will not be there again. And
okay.
In conclusion, my brother, and I appreciate the time, okay? In conclusion, a person could be lettered but not learned. Do you know what I mean by that?
Indeed.
They can have an AA, BA, MBA, PhD. All that means they got letters by their name,
yes,
they
sir.
Have not studied. I appreciate your time, my brother.
All right.
Peace out and just think about it,
all right? All right, thank you.
All right.
All right. Good call. How you doing today, Malik?
Yeah, how are you doing, Chief?
I'm great, sir.
You're getting better all the time.
I'm working at it.
Yeah, you keep doing that.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say my brother Hassan called you earlier.
Okay.
And he spoke of the Quran and some of the prophecies being fulfilled. I'm going to really make it brief.
Okay.
In the same Quran, it says, "Behold, corruption has appeared in the land."
Okay.
"And the sea, by what the hands of men have wrought, that they may taste of their own chastisement." And that's logically true. When they followed that comet out there and bore into it, you released a lot of untold, unheard of energy into the solar system that affects the movements of the planets.
Okay.
And this causes a great stress upon the Earth because you don't know what those movements will take, except we know they take place in the weather and the behavior of men. Just watch it.
Okay.
Have a good day, my brother.
You too, sir. Next up, how you doing? XX Peter, how are you, sir?
How you doing, Keith?
I'm better. How you doing?
You know, you want to add another blunder. You know how they always, callers call in and say that the people had warning to get out and they didn't?
Yes.
Well, if that's the case, then the commander who commands Kessler Air Force Base there in Biloxi.
Okay.
Where the U.S. have its fleet of WC-130s, the Hurricane Hunters.
Okay.
95% of them was destroyed. And we're talking about some big bucks.
Mm.
And we're talking about some aircraft with high technology on them where they can fly into the eye of a hurricane and peer upon it and see what's going. And it's awful funny that Katrina kind of veered over that way as if it was a running back that was running down the sideline all of a sudden seeing a clear spot and took to it.
Mm.
So maybe that commander needs to get his behind ran off because surely they had ample warnings to know to get those planes and scramble them off the ground.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, it seems like as if they knew it was coming and they just waited for a response.
And you know, they're always talking about the loser, but you know, back when the black town in Wall Street was burnt down by, you know, the racist white, they looted the black folks' home. Matter of fact, there's some of the stories where a black woman even recalls seeing whites walking down, white women wearing her clothes down the street. So, you know, that's something to think about.
Yes, sir.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, sir. How you doing, John?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good,
yeah,
sir.
You know, when are we going to get an investigation of these oil companies?
The president is a former oil man.
Right.
The
and
vice president, well,
George.
George Bush is actually a former oil man. He's a failed. He's a failed oil man,
right.
But he's a former oil man.
Yes,
and then the vice president is an oil man. So
right.
It's not going to happen.
And they ain't going to do it, and that's the problem.
It's not going to happen. So,
I think everybody knows that. And so the question is, I'm going to hear when these people holler about patriotism and all that. Where is the oil company's patriotism?
I don't think they have any.
They don't.
Gas is $3 a gallon here.
Right.
It's $5,
$5
to $6 a gallon in the areas where the disaster is, and it's going to get worse.
Right. It is.
Right.
You know, and people will not, they'll cry about a little welfare check, but look who's really ripping off.
Again, corporate welfare corporate welfare dwarfs regular welfare by monumental amounts.
You can't even
begin to figure out how much they're getting. But thank you for your call,
man.
All right. How you doing this morning, Robert?
How you doing, Keith?
I'm outstanding, sir. I keep getting better.
Good. I heard you're in the evening and in the morning.
Yes, sir. I'm jumping around.
That's good.
But I'm having a blast, though.
McCullough called earlier about the weather manipulation.
Yes.
There's a website, and the site is called HAARP.
Okay, I just got that information from a previous caller. Yes, I did.
Okay.
As a matter of fact,
anything's possible.
Yeah, she asked about AARP, and I just assumed she was talking about senior citizens, because that was the only one I knew.
Okay.
Right, thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. How you doing, George?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Are you aware of the chemtrails that they keep flying over all the time? Do you ever watch them and see them and notice them?
No. Can you bring us up to speed on that?
They crisscross overhead all the time, common as can be.
Okay. I'm sorry. Kind of give me an idea what chemtrails are. I'm not familiar with that concept.
Well, they're dumping some kind of dust element into the atmosphere.
Okay.
Over the populations. Okay. And I've watched them. I've stood and watched them myself right here in the metro area.
Okay.
And it just, the media won't talk about it. Well, anyway, all these different things come to bear probably on the severity.
Real quick, just a quick segue. Is that something that pertains to weather manipulation?
Oh, well, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on with your other point. I just wanted to get some clarity there.
Okay, I would just like to say that I definitely think you are head and shoulders above 90% of the people they have on this radio programs.
Well, I appreciate that, sir.
And you have the intelligence and the insight and the ability to communicate, and I really appreciate it, and I pray to God that there is a backlash against this so-called conservative element, which really is just a super control element.
You almost figured that this, at some point there's going to have to be. People are people that are uncomfortable, that are still aligning themselves with these people, are going to get to a level where that level of uncomfortability is going to be too much for even them.
They can, you know, you can only deny that your wife is cheating on you or that your husband's an alcoholic.
You can only
deny these things so long.
Yes, sir.
And you finally have to just be honest with yourself and everyone else.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I pray to God that the day is coming real soon when people's eyes will be open on these absolute heinous leadership we have.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. Have a great day. All right. This is Keith Gray sitting in for Liz Brown on the morning wake-up call. Following me is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920. I want to thank you for the opportunity, St. Louis, and I'll see you soon. I don't know when exactly, but I'll see you soon. And you just try to talk to this girl named Fran. The type of female with fly Gucci wear. With big trunk jewelry and extensions in her hair. When Swan tried to kick it, she always fast talking about, baby, please, you work for UPS. Since he wasn't no type of big drug dealer, my man CJ Swan didn't appeal to her. But now he trucks stolen with Fly Valley boots. Rough leather fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped fronting and wants to speak and be coming to all the shows every single weekend. To get his people number, she be begging please. Dying for the day to get skis. She caught the paper. She caught the paper.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm